This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3366, for Monday the 28th of June 2021. Today's show is entitled, HPR 2020, 2021 New Year's Eve, show episode 7. It is hosted by Hunky Magoo, and is about 163 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, the HPR community stops by for a chat.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by Archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Games, but I had no English pronunciation right. I read English, but I'm not able to speak English.
Yeah, I get the idea, because there's something that happens in your brain, isn't there? You can know things, you can read, and even it's different from being immersed with people and copying them, which I think is the natural way to learn.
Yeah, because I being here in Norway, and I accidentally talk English to someone, and they kind of, excuse me, I'm from Norway too, because I was talking to someone that was from not Norway, that was visiting, and they were talking to them English, and I talked to them English. I didn't think, because I don't know how people in Norway are supposed to talk English, because I never talked to anyone in English. I used to go easily. I cannot understand where I'm from Norway.
I get it. There's a YouTube channel called Lang Focus, and he is very good. So I've listened to different, you know, him talking about Scandinavian languages and who understands which region in Sweden or wherever, and where the borders cross, because the maps are just written down by people, aren't they? They don't ask the people who live there very often.
The maps is kind of made before the languages, because Norwegian is a mix between four languages, or at least three languages.
Yeah, I was, and on this same channel I was listening, he was talking about Frisian, so old Frisian before English language. There's and he is the people who were here before, whoever, you know, the Anglo-Saxons changed the language a lot in this region. And just, he was talking the Frisian grammar, and it's strange how the brain recognizes what's being said almost, even though the words are not familiar. You know, it's an interesting thing that happens in the brain. But the Russian grammar, for example, is so different. The Slavic, you know, there's so many more cases. Although those cases did exist in older English, it's the meaning being transferred is the important thing, is it? So anyway, I trailed off there.
Yeah. So you starting the ruffling, as he called it.
Yeah, not having a fixed thing to say when one starts, but continuing to talk.
Yeah.
I am interested in language in general, so my excitement in the subject carries me into such behavior.
Yeah, that is, I like to hear on people that talk about what they like. Even if it's extreme, more extreme, the more happy I am. So I'd probably flame up that kind of nonsense talking.
Well, in a reaction to trying to reduce waffling, I will now go and sort objects in the real world of 3 and 4 dimensions, and the fifth, and it's cold as well, so that's 5.
So, Tony, so you can hear us then?
I can hear you now. I had problems with my computer audio. I had to do a reboot. For some reason, Alser and Pulse Audio lost my sound card.
So you've been in Mumble before then?
Pardon?
You have been in Mumble before today?
Have I been in the HPR New Year before? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not your first time on Mumble.
No, I've got quite a number of HPR shows under my belt.
Because kind of, it's the first time people join. People have always had time joining the first time on Mumble.
Yeah. No, I was.
I used 4 times before I was able to talk to someone on Mumble.
Yeah.
And my English was so horrible, no one understand me. It takes me like a half year before people start to understand me.
Your English is better than whatever other language you speak, because I don't speak anything other than English.
Yeah, but my English, guess where I'm from, if you want.
It sounds like the continent. Am I correct with that? European?
Yeah.
Germany or Austria?
Oh, fun, someone you didn't say France. So many people say France. But you did not hear me in a long time.
Pardon?
You have not heard me talk very long, so...
No.
Sometimes 99% guess France. Or people I ask before I'm telling them.
Right.
But after I'm told them, I need to then count to them forgetting it before I ask them again.
So where are you from?
Norway.
Norway? Ah, right. I was in your fair country a couple of years ago.
I'm wondering if I talked to you before.
I don't know.
I talked to someone named Tony, but I doesn't remember Tony Hay before. Mm.
Yeah, I'm one of... do you listen to Minkcast?
No, I doesn't listen to it, but I have been randomly joining here for some times.
Yeah, I'm on Mink. I'm one of the Minkcast hosts.
Oh, it's kind of funny. So many random Minkcast hosts have to join over the past hours.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know who's been around, because I was in for a couple of hours last night, but no one else was around.
Yeah, I think 4 different people has announced I am a host on the Minkcast.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's quite a lot of us.
Yeah.
There's Joe, there's Leo.
Yes, so for all I know, all of us fakes.
Yeah. Well, Joe, who's on Minkcasts, also does the Linux Lugcast as well.
Yeah, so Joe is a true candidate, that's you.
Yeah.
He has been not talking, I think, in the last... 6 hours or so.
Oh, Joe's usually around because he doesn't sleep much either.
Yeah. He has not been talking, maybe listening, but not talking.
Yeah.
So, you have a second Mumble room.
Pardon?
You have a second Mumble room you join.
I have a second...
Mumble channel.
Yes, I've got two... I've got Mumble... set up twice. I've got the flat pack, and I've also got the one that's in the repos. But I'm on the flat pack now, the newer one, Mumble 1.3.3.
Oh, 1.3.3. Did you work with the version? You tried that first, and then you did the reboot and tried the new one.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it might have been a problem with Mumble, so I went into the old one to see whether it was a problem with that. It wasn't. So I plugged in me one of my USB sound cards. And that worked, so I knew I could get, but then it wouldn't pick up my microphone for some reason, so I rebooted the computer, and my sound card on the computer came back, so I'm back on that.
So I was wondering, because sometimes I was kind of invited to join you guys on Mincast kind of thing. It's some years ago, probably then.
Oh, right. May have even been before we took over.
Yeah, and then I forgot about it. Then I was looking for you guys in the times that you said you was going to be on, but then you was gone. And I just told you recently today you have moved to a new place.
Oh, do you mean the Mumble?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got our own. Place. We use the HPR Mumble server as a backup, but we have got our own Mumble server now that young Josh, that used to be one of the hosts, set up a while back. But we use that most of the time.
People joining there, or are you kind of restricting it?
Sorry, I didn't quite get that.
So are you allowing people to join that place, or are you very restricting who is allowed to join?
No, we only use that for the people that are actually going to be live on the show. We've got a YouTube feed for people who want to listen to the show live when it goes out. So if you go on YouTube and search for Mintcast and subscribe to it, it'll tell you when the live show's going out.
Yeah.
I think it's trying to say they use the Mumble server to make the program, so to interview people.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Because
we record because obviously we're all in different parts of the world. Well, mostly in America, but I'm in the UK. We use Mumble so that we can talk to each other. And if anyone joins as a guest, they join in Mumble, and we all record locally on Audacity and then mix that down to form the show. But during the show, Leo's got it set up so that we stream on YouTube. And people can join, you know, listen to the show as it goes out.
Oh, so
live.
You don't use Mumble anymore to do the live broadcast?
We don't use Mumble to Mumble is used to stream, but it gets streamed through YouTube.
So not in the way you was using Mumble before then?
Well, we used to use Mumble to stream even before, but it was on a different streaming service. Kevin Wisher, that is part of the HPR team, he used to have a Pi streaming box set up that we used to use. So we'd push the Mumble stream through that, and that would go out as a live stream. But now we push the Mumble through into, Leo uses OBS. He's got a separate box set up, and he pushes the Mumble stream through OBS and into a YouTube live stream.
Yeah, because before I come to Mintcast and I wanted to talk after the shows, you probably doesn't remember me. I'm not remembering who I was ended talking to. So it's some years ago.
Ah, right. Okay.
Before COVID was a thing.
Before COVID was a thing, yeah. I think we'd all wish COVID was a distant memory.
After COVID, I look around for a different place to meet people and talk to. And Mumble has gone down the drain, kind of. It was up and up on this place. Not sure if you noted it.
No.
Because it was like 20 or 50 people inside this place around the lockdown period, beginning of lockdown. And it was going downhill slowly in the summer when it was unlocking of different places and not returning. So looking for different places to talk to people. And I hear about Mintcast room, that's welcome to people.
Yeah, when we say we welcome people, if you want to join us and come and talk about something on one of the shows, that's what we mean. And we can only have one, possibly two guests for each episode because it gets too complicated otherwise with all the audio editing.
Yeah, fun!
Because we've already got six hosts as it is, so if we have two guests, that's up to eight tracks to edit together to get the audio going.
Oh gosh.
So we do invite people if they want to come on.
Mm. So how do you nag you outside the first day of the year? What do you prefer the way I contact you about being invited on the show then?
Yeah, if you contact us through Discord or Telegram.
Joined the Telegram today.
Yeah, if you're on the Telegram group or the Discord group, or you can email us directly on the Mintcast.
If you have been on Telegram today, maybe you see I'm doing you guys.
I haven't gone into Telegram for ages. I need to go and have a look at Telegram.
Because I joined today and I kind of tried to find out if it was some kind of invite-only member room that I feel it's not meant to be open for people to just join.
I've just opened up Telegram and I've got millions and millions of messages.
I've got a question for Tony.
Yeah?
About Mintcast. So I listen to podcasts. I wonder, what do you talk about on Mintcast? Like, what level of Linux kernel, userland? What kind of? I know I should just go and have a listen, but
well, we're actually quite eclectic. We tend to swap around between doing beginner stuff and for average users and more complicated stuff. I'm an average. I class myself just as a user. I'm not a technology buff. It was never my profession. It's always been my hobby. And so I'm not into some of the technical stuff. So when they start talking about the really geeky stuff, then it starts going over my head. So we tend to try and have a balance of stuff that the new, you know, someone new or fairly new to Linux can understand.
New applications, like novel applications, are always, well, often useful anyway, aren't they? You just need sometimes the name and you get this whole new feature set. So
We do talk about things that come out, particularly if Mint releases a new release and there's new stuff in Mint. We'll talk about that. When we did the last show, there were the beta 20.1 beta was out, and Leo was going through some of the extras that were in that.
Without going too deep into it, so I'm thinking of dumping Ubuntu. I've had it for a while. I'm running it on this old server. Well,
are you using the main edition, or are you using one of the spins?
I've used a lot. Like, I'll probably do an introduction episode for HPR. I did qualify as sysadmin for Solaris like 10 years ago, and before that I had other interest in computing since like 1981, ZX81. What's my point? So I've used different distributions, and I'm getting a bit annoyed with the systemd, just because it interrupts me and it doesn't shut down when I tell it to. That kind of stuff is not acceptable. I mean, I know it's got reasons. So briefly, what's Mint following? Like, I know it's simple stuff, but if you don't mind telling me.
In your sense of, what do you mean, what Mintcast follows, or what Mint is doing?
We're talking Mint. What's underneath Mint? Is it use systemd?
It uses systemd, because you can get snaps working, although in the latest release Clem decided he didn't like Snap, so he's put a script in a file to block it out the box. You've got to go and delete that to get Snaps working. But yeah, systemd's there, but it's by default it's a Flatpak system.
I have got Mint on another system. I did use it for a while, but like I say, I'll break a lot of things and I'll move my data and stick it in a RAID somewhere so that I can go back to it. But I've got littered around the place, you know, several distributions that I really need to blow away.
Mm. You probably...
Listen to the cast. It's good. I've got time to listen at work when I'm sweeping, so I'll catch a few.
Yeah. But I was going to say, for me, Mint is one of those districts, which is why I was a little bit disappointed when Clem decided to block Snap, because I think Mint is one of those ideal distributions for a new person to Linux, whereas everything works out the box. But now, if you want to get Snaps working, although it's not hard, if you're not a technical user and comfortable with either going into the terminal and doing a bit of tweaks in the terminal, even though these script, you know, these things on the internet. Leo did a little tutorial about how to get rid of the config file that blocks Snaps. You know, if you're not comfortable with all that, it's just made it that little bit less user-friendly for a new user.
Right, it's quick. One, people are quick to forget. I remember struggling around with in between those directories, thinking, what is the point of this? Because I'd learned programming like BBC Basic back in the day, and I just couldn't get like my problem was that it wasn't as complicated. It wasn't complicated. It was dead simple. But my point just at this right now is that, yeah, it's easy to forget. And we need people like you to keep things simple for newcomers, because, yeah. You know, I need that help at every level. I remember.
Yeah, I'm compared with Linux is over 25 years old now. It's about 25 years, isn't it? 92, no, it's more, isn't it? It's 28 years old when the kernel was written. But I didn't get into it until Ubuntu came along. So it was Ubuntu that got me into Linux, because it was an easy, you know, it was an easy install. And even then, there was still stuff that you had to tweak around, particularly if you were putting it on laptops with Wi-Fi cards and things like that. You know, I remember.
If you need the drivers to anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you had a Wi-Fi card that didn't work out the box, you had to do all sorts of things with then Diswrapper and all this kind of stuff. And it was
it definitely puts you off. I remember one New Year's Day, I did the whole Gentoo thing, compiled it all. It's working nicely. No, it was a no. It was very straightforward and custom to all of that, because I'd done the Solaris thing. So it was easy, but then it would intermittently connect to the network. And because I wanted to do some browsing at that point, I just switched the thing off and it sat there. I'd done all that work and I never used it as a box. It's very nice. But just like it was a simple network thing, but you just have to learn that stuff. And if you're not into learning it, if that's not what you're there for, then in my case, I won't do it.
Mm. Yeah, I got into Linux originally because I moved back up from London to the File Coast, and I had an old computer knocking about. And I had a bit of spare time on my hands because I decided to go back to university, and I had a summer off. And I thought, I'm going to get this box working over the summer while I've got a bit of free time. And it was an old Pentium 2 machine, and I wanted to get it working, and then I decided I was going to give it away on FreeCycle. And of course, FreeCycle require their rules are that anything you give away has to be perfectly legal. And I couldn't stick Windows on it because there was no Windows license with it. So I thought, I know a bit about this Linux stuff. I've got a disk floating around, so I stuck it on. And got it working, got everything working on it. And that's what got me into Linux, was fiddling around with computers to give away on FreeCycle. That's a short story.
It's worth not to sell it, but to give it away.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need to learn Linux to give it away.
Yeah. because...
Admirable.
Because you couldn't give anything away that was moody or, you know, using dodgy software. I couldn't stick a dodgy version of Windows on this tower because that would have made it illegal.
And also propagate the Windows virus.
Yes, yeah. Well, at the time, I was a Windows user. I was using XP at the time, back in 2006. So I was an XP user. And I wasn't a power user, but I was a little bit above average. I could install it myself.
So you were a paired user, not a...
Yeah, So that's how I got into using Linux. And the more and more I was installing it on these computers as I was giving away on FreeCycle, the more I thought, actually, this is a good system. So I installed a dual boot on my own tower.
Right.
And that's how I got using it.
I did TinyCore once on, it might have been a very early Pentium. I think it had, like, it only had 48 meg of memory or something. It might have been low, it might have been 16. It was just really old.
TinyCore would fly on that anyway.
Yeah, it's impressive. I love that stuff.
Yeah. There was a couple of different versions of TinyCore.
One of them was one of the small versions.
Pardon?
You have the terminal version that is so kind of...
About 12 megabytes, I think it was.
Yeah, I think the one that gives you a DE came in at about 30.
Yeah, I think it's 45 or last time I used.
Yeah, I've not used TinyCore for ages. Anyone use Puppy?
I've tried it.
I tried it. I never used it for more longer and kind of, oh gosh, this looks so outdated.
Yeah. I tried it in the early days, and because I wasn't very confident with Linux, I probably dismissed it too quickly. But I should go back and have another look at it,
I did miss it because it was too kind of noisy. I didn't understand I can just delete all the images on the desktop. I just need to keep them. Because I was still new to Linux, I was not sure how... it was okay to delete stuff.
Yeah, I think
to just delete all the files that have and can probably not delete 99% of the system. No, 99% of the X things, and still have a node to get it working again.
Right.
I don't know anything about this Pulse audio. It's so funny. Each time people talk about Pulse Audio on Mumble, I know does nothing about it.
Right.
I think I also just hack at it until it's done and then forget about it, because next time I do it, it'll probably be different. Might be a different distribution. You know, I'm sure that's why HPI. That's why a good tutorial is always good to have around.
Yeah, since I started using Linux, I think the fact that there's so many people put some really fantastic stuff up on YouTube, that it's fairly easy to find answers to things, or, you know, find tutorial videos in how to get started with a particular distro or doing something nowadays.
Right. The stuff I do remember is that SSH, because often you want to SSH into that box to get it started, especially if you're rebuilding, if you're hacking something back together.
Right.
Pulse Audio, though, kind of seems like luxurious, but in your day-to-day, you want that. And when you getting settled in, you've got a bit more of a stable system, then it's really nice.
Brilliant. So whereabouts are you based?
I'm in the Midlands.
Oh, right, okay.
Birmingham area.
Oh, brilliant. So you're another level four. Yeah, we went into level four on New Year's Eve.
I find it a little bit because, like, not being able to go into my brother's garden, I should want to go over to his house and go and fix his shower. That would be allowed, you know? And I've not been stopped by the police yet.
So one of spawns, are you from UK? Probably asked too many times.
Yeah, we're
no, yes, I am.
Yeah.
And Tony, where are you?
I'm in Blackpool, sunny Blackpool.
I got family around there, Chester, St Helens.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, well, I grew up in South Manchester in a village called Cheeble, just south of Manchester.
So you don't have the same language, same dialect.
Dialects in the UK can be quite subtle, so it just depends where you live.
Yeah, because I hear you are from UK, but one for Spoons, I cannot hear him from whatever he's from. That's why I end up asking him probably more than once.
My accent is not even my local accent. You know, I think because I've paid attention to my voice and also been learning language, but it was already strange. I've been told I sound like a 12-year-old. You know, I'm 48 years old.
There is a bit of Midlands in there, though.
Yeah, when I being relax, English, sure. Probably can hear it still around, but I'm trying to find out about if it's English is an English language. Because I have sometimes talked to some from Australia, and I cannot hear them from Australia. No, kind of 120 dialect I know is from Australia.
From where, sorry?
The kangaroos live.
In Norway?
No, Australia.
Australia?
Uh-huh. Then kangaroos, you know, the punching thing.
Kangaroos?
Yeah.
Yeah, pronunciation makes all the difference, especially in Chinese.
Oh, yeah. I learn my English learner. Say the word and try to describe it. One of the other going to work before later. And more you talk to one person, you better that one person learn how you talk.
Yes, I think if you listen to different accents often, or if you have concentrated on learning another language, you'll become much better at recognizing the relatives, like the relative differences in one voice.
Yeah, because the longer I talk to someone, the better they understand me somehow. But not always are getting better in language, because I feel in the end with Paragon or Padrag
Patrick,
I get worse and worse in how I pronounce things, but he kind of still understand me. And in the end I start to loosen what I'm saying myself, but he is still kind of follow what wanted to go with my sentences.
Code shifting, the linguistic term, is it? Where people begin to talk like the person they are talking with?
Yeah, so it's kind of syncing up, kind of deal.
Practice, I guess. Do you read out loud? Do you take an English text and read out loud?
Yeah, I kind of sign out to it. Then be on the number.
Or even to listen and then copy. Do you say listen to music with good, clear lyrics and then sing slightly after it, you know, to echo it? It's a good way to pick up language and feel confident.
Yeah, I don't listen to music that has the lyrics normally.
Do you sing along?
I have a hard time. I used to really like the last 4 years sing alone, but before that I didn't have any sing alone, but I have a hard time sing alone.
When I was listening to Russian, learning Russian, I found it useful, well, two things. One, of course, to listen with subtitles. Another, to listen whilst reading the language, because the script is different, you know, the Cyrillic text is different. Rather than me struggle to pronounce, to try and recall from memory each of the how I should say those symbols, to just listen to someone else say them as I run my eyes over those words was just so much easier. And then additionally, to take English language, like a phrase that I would say in English, but use the sounds, like use the Cyrillic text and transcribe in Cyrillic the English words, if you know what I mean. So if a fantasy, you would use the F symbol from Cyrillic and the N symbol from Cyrillic. So it would be written like Russian language, but it would be actually English language. And then I could practice saying those phrases so that my brain could associate and quickly say, you know, to learn to read, basically. But yeah. Your script, I guess, Norwegian, is very similar to Latin script English anyway.
Yeah, it's very similar. Because the moment you hear me trying to pronounce names that I read them, Can you hear my Norwegian coming through? It is more quiet and more tired. I just read the four letters and already hear myself. I butcher the name.
I think it works okay if you're for some time with the same person who is listening to you. That will work just fine. And they can then correct you, if you'll pardon the expression. But basically, they can say how to pronounce that and you'll learn a lot. But if you just practice anyway, even when you cannot pronounce, if you consistently read the word the same way, then you'll learn the English.
Yeah, that's, I was very good at the mumble, but when I have three years from mumble, and I still can talk English and understand it totally, but not talking 2 years is what all people said. It was very damaging for my fluency.
I wonder how much time each day, though, you would need, maybe not very much, to just practice pronunciation from reading or something.
Yeah, I don't do it so much, probably. Kind of, because I only butcher the names of different people. Then I don't know how to pronounce a name.
It's also easy for me to say, because I... Sorry, what's that, Tony?
No, was that Ken?
Yeah, that's butchering people's names is my job. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm butchering all my names that I never read before. Remember.
Anyway, but by the way, I've not wished everyone Happy New Year yet. Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah, good plan.
I'm just looking at the countdown. The next New Year place is in 10 minutes. It's Honolulu.
The Pendragon. Oh, God.
Patrick. Pendragon, you keep saying.
Because the name gets me to see out of thing.
Yeah, but you're reading it as an English word. It's not an English word. It's an Irish alphabet. Alphabet hasn't switched, so the vowels are still the original.
Just mute yourself, guys. I'll be back in a few minutes.
See you later, Tony.
Also, Ken Podrick was saying his name is also, because he's from Netherlands, pronounced slightly differently over there.
Oh, that's for sure, yeah.
Podrick.
Yeah, there has been a wide selection of butchering their names, it has to be said.
So, is it right that you are from Netherlands too then, Ken? Or did I misunderstand what he was talking about? Are you from Netherlands?
I live in the Netherlands, I'm from Ireland.
So you are in a family with the Pendragon?
Podrick is my son, yes.
But
I'm glad he was asleep the whole night and wasn't awake at all. Like a good parent that I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Funny.
He's a champion talker.
He is, yeah.
Then the moment he left, you joined.
Yeah, I sent him to bed. No, he's actually up. I don't know what he's doing. Still trying to
He was talking about getting something to eat.
Because he'd been
talking 6 hours non-stop.
Yep, that's Pucky all right, yeah.
And not going to toilet or drinking or anything.
Yeah.
I find those wide-necked fabric conditioner bottles very useful because it took me a long time to make the smell of the fabric conditioner go away. I hope that's not too crude. I work in the garage sometimes, you know, it's cold out there.
Fair enough.
And I just heard, it's just recalled people who are playing World of Warcraft or something, how they would just stay by their machines, not wanting to leave, and therefore be urinating in their coffee cups and all that kind of nasty stuff. Yeah, they just was that hooked.
So
it's just got a 5-gallon bucket.
So Reyes kind of drinking and then using it to piss and...
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's very fast, very downhill topic.
Yeah, but addiction to or obsession. Mm-hmm. Obsession.
I've been on Mumble over 12 hours non-stop. Wanted to be the dinner. Treat Mumble as a game.
Time again for me to grab the Bluetooth headphones and go and sort some objects.
What objects?
But I've got boxes of things, you know, I've got probably 100 boxes. I'm just trying to sort, I'm kind of trying to move house, but that's going to be 6 months.
Well, and it's Brexit stashing.
No.
Started all this illegal EU contraband.
It's kind of recycling, isn't it? But not knowing when, like, is anyone going to buy the house? I'm going to get out of the country. Like, so where? What do you keep? What do you not?
I understand
that. We're in the same boat ourselves.
So, was you in that boat before COVID or after COVID started?
I would say before.
Yeah, because some people kind of want to move after COVID started, because of COVID.
I have four small children, and we live in the city, and I did not grow up in the city, and it's very difficult for me to adjust to being in the city, and I want to get out, and have wanted to get out for years, but now it just seems easier. The housing market has actually gone through the roof because of COVID.
It's going to hell in where I live. It's probably good for all people, but not me. I'm trying to move away from the city, not into the city.
I want to move away from the city as well.
Yeah, because it's no easier to move into the city, not away from the city.
I'm looking for crew and farmland, you know, a community, a bit more resilient, where you can plant stuff. There's lots of people to help and things to enjoy and develop all of the time without being pressured, you know.
I have a hard problem. My family want me to live close to the city, but I want to live far away. So I'm looking for a place that they agree on and I can still be myself from home. Especially with COVID, when all the places I was looking at have vanished.
Yeah, now that is something. The places around here that have been for sale that have been ideal, they're listed on the market for a week to 2 weeks, and they're gone.
Yeah, I found like four. I was just randomly lucky and see them, and they were listed like 2 days, and they were just gone.
Most of the land around here is... sold not from a public listing, but is just some farmer putting a sign up in his yard because he needs some cash.
Yeah, and then just burp. It was looked at like 50 different places. No, it's 0 different places.
I'm always looking, it's going to just sell our... Go ahead, sir.
No, I think it's and the prices go up around 10-20% of all different places. I knew about COVID, so I thought, okay, COVID going to lower price. I thought they were holding off on buying, but instead it go to 10-20. I think if it just go on, it's going to be 50% over what is the last year price. But it gets cheaper and cheaper
to
live
out of your house here.
But it got cheaper and cheaper, I think, to live in the bunker kind of city that you have a little small room between people. Sardines housing, they got cheaper in the city, I think. But if you want to live just little outside the city, they got really pricey. Very fast. Mister. Horrible. A new one I looked at, it's got a 10-time asking price. Ooh.
That's kind of one of the problems we're having right now, is with the land and things that are available. So,
it's vanishing.
They come and they go, and when they come back, because they'll be relisted, it'll be more than it was the last time. So I believe that landowners are getting interest shown in their land, and they're like, oh, well, let's up the price a little more. We'll go a little more. And they're not accepting anything and start getting the really high offers. And it's a good time to be selling houses right now because the demand is so high and the supply is so low because people aren't in a financial position to sell.
Happy New Year, hallelujah. God, I've butchered that.
It's just gone, has it?
Yep.
Happy New Year.
Just two more left.
And then it's over.
And then it's over for another year.
2020, done and dusted. Yes.
Yeah, now we've just got to crawl our way through 2021.
Yeah. Is that light at the end of the tunnel? No, it's a freight train.
So optimistic, Ken.
So
what was that?
I said you are so optimistic.
Well, at least he's still in the EU, unlike some of us.
So
you could just move to Northern Ireland and you'd still be have the best of both worlds. Be a member of the EU.
Yeah, but we still wouldn't have the free movement, I don't think, would we?
Yeah, that's going to be a problem. Surely you have an Irish grandparent somewhere locked away in the cupboard somewhere.
Well, I've got Polish or Russian relatives somewhere, so I don't know where they are.
That'll do. You don't need to like them. You just need to get the passport, that's all.
Yeah, I'd have to track it all down first.
I saw here on work there are a lot of people going to a lot of rounds to find out their to get paperwork done before the transition.
Well, if you were born in Northern Ireland, you're entitled to an Irish passport anyway, aren't you?
Yep.
So I would imagine there's going to be a lot of people applying for their Irish passport.
It's yeah, that's an emotive issue.
Yeah, I would imagine the loyalists probably wouldn't, but I would imagine people who are just conservative with a small C will probably think about it.
Although in order to apply, you need to have a person of high standing, sign the thing, and that tends to be clergy or members of a political party, and some of the unionist parties were saying that they were seeing a large increase in applications for Irish passports. I'm still a unionist, but I do like to head off to my holidays down in Lanzarote. Fair enough.
Or I want to go to be able to retire into Spain whenever I want.
Yeah, very much.
Yeah. Talking about giving ourselves both barrels in both feet.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm just glad I'm not on that side of the interesting. I was a bit concerned about the Island of Ireland thing, to be honest with you. It did kind of undermine the truce. People call it the peace treaty, the Good Friday Agreement.
Yeah.
And I can really see how that puts the unionist community in a very awkward position, so to speak. The whole thing.
Yeah.
They had no choice but to support it in ways to support Brexit, and then because nobody wants to return to that.
No, we don't want to return to that. I know there's still occasional outbreaks of violence and stuff, but nothing like it was for 30 years.
So, Ken?
Oui.
Are you in the D&D thing?
No, oddly enough, my son got the D&D genes from somebody else. I don't understand it myself.
Because you are always in the room when I have been talking about it.
But that could be because I have a backup machine in case he can't connect on his machine. So I'm just sitting there as a droid, but I am absolutely nowhere near it. Although, Podrick is very persuasive. He has managed to get me to create a character. So, yeah. Essentially, I think D&D is just a lot of maths tied up in a story. And that maths I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah.
But he enjoys D&D, and that's the main thing.
A lot of
because
maths.
I tried to talk to you so many times. So good to hear you, but not there then.
Yeah, so no, you're not going nuts. It was just the computer connected.
Yeah, because so many times I just gave you up. I thought you was totally ignoring me on purpose.
Oh, no, 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 not at all. No.
Because it was kind of the only person I knew beforehand from that group was you, so.
Ah.
And I tried to talk to someone I knew beforehand before.
Ah, yes, yes. No, I have not been avoiding you at all, not at all, no.
Yeah, and I kind of, Patrick, tried to talk to Patrick about cutting in maybe the next time around, if I remember when it is.
Tattoo has, they're on a little bit of a break at the minute, for one reason or another, but he has a calendar that you can subscribe to, and will tell you when the D&Ds are happening. Let me just check and see if I can find that now.
No, signals.next.
No. Let me speak. No, sorry. Just channeling my.
Did anybody see Klaatu?
He hasn't been around. I've seen him around.
Tattoo.
Oh, that's a weird New Year.
Indeed.
Yeah, someone was asking about someone here, but they never done. So you kind of make a big point. I want to talk, be done, and then you got totally quiet.
I'm just searching HPR to see if I can find an episode on making sourdough bread.
If you go to the main page, look under tags. Tags.
Main page, look under
Let me see. I'm on the mixsignals.ml games blog. One second. We're getting closer. I'm sorry, that was my impression of Nigel Farage, who was known for the Brexit interviews. If you listen to the BBC comedy shows, his whole thing was, no, let me speak. So, yes.
So you was trying to copy that one?
That's it, the indie talk, absence of tattoo, very good.
I had a very hard time jumping back on here before without listening to today's show. Holy crap, that's a good one for today.
So you join this room other time of video of one day, Cooper?
I missed that, bud. You're going to have to say that again.
Do you join other days and this once a year? This room, this memory room.
I was here yesterday a little bit, probably about this time, maybe a little later.
Oh, so some people using this place.
Yeah, we've... mostly it's just the community news show. We do occasional interviews on here. And there was a big discussion as well. I'll just give you the summary. This server will probably be shutting down and moving to another server where there is more... Yeah, because a lot of the podcasts...
I think it was already done once.
Oh, okay.
No, so, because I was given a new link because the server was moving.
Oh, okay.
Once before. Not remember that probably. I think I forgot it, even got it from you. I'm not sure.
Okay.
So will that mean a new link that we'll need to put into?
Don't know what we're going to do. It'll probably be mumble.hackerpublicradio.org anyway.
But I got a link in two different places that have a connection to this place. Probably one of them knows a bit the new place.
I can't find it on the...
Are you going to run your own Mumble server there, Ken?
No. Enough to be doing, thank you very much. Delwyn has a server, and I'll probably just put a DNS entry into his.
I was about to say, you do everything. How can you do any more?
No, I don't. No. I just get... Everybody thinks I do everything. I have Dave Morris does all the work, and so he just goes... politely in the background about it.
So you are the figurehead. He's working behind the scenes. That's it,
yeah. I'm a puppet state here in HPR land.
Will you keep the other rooms that are currently in the HPR server?
Yeah,
as well?
The previous person who was paying for this, and I can't remember the name. I'm beating my head against on the wall trying to remember who they were. Which is terrible. I will
It's all fun when you cannot remember who is paid off a big thing you are using.
Yeah, exactly. So they were paying for the server for years, and then there was an email sent around saying, are you still using the server? And we were, HPR were, so I was happy to, you know, take it over. But then when the issue about client compatibility and the server not being upgraded came up this week, I had a look at the rooms, and the majority of the podcasts on there are either pod faded or they've moved off to their own server, or yeah, are using it as a backup. So
yeah, we're using Mintcast is using it as a backup because our server's still a bit, sometimes gets a bit flaky.
Yeah,
so it's only used for a backup all of the radio thing then.
Well, HPR uses it once a month, so Delwyn has offered us a room over there, and he, I presume it's a he, keeps the server up to date, and he's got a room that you can go in, and when you go in there, you can test your audio and all sorts of stuff.
So is that a podcast that you take up different random things, different random thing read out loud? Or that the other show too?
No, I think he just has a Mumble server for other people, for other podcasts.
No, no, not for in your show, is that reading aloud different people sending different random stuff?
Yes. Out as long as it's of interest to hackers. That's the only requirement.
Which virtually everything is.
Yeah.
Yeah, weirdly.
Absolutely, everything.
Because I remember one bread, time I joined, whatever. It was cooking kind of the topics, the whole thing.
I've done a couple of cookery shows.
Yeah, maybe that's why I can remember your name but not talk to you. Maybe I heard one of your readings or something.
Yeah.
Ken, can you remember me from before?
Yes, I can. You were on the 24-hour show and you were on the community news a few times. Still haven't gotten a show from you, though, which is interesting.
What do you mean?
You still haven't recorded an, hi, this is where I come from, this is how I found out about HPR, this is da-da-da-da, record it and go to the calendar show and upload a show. Have your own show. You're a real person on the internet, then. You're a real podcaster.
Yeah, No, I'm not, because probably the way I got to this place, I didn't know about any podcast. I got this as a place I can get to talk to people.
Uh-huh.
So probably not the right introduction to this place, probably.
Still can't find out where to search tags.
Oh, hold on 1 second. I will get it for you. It's not, yeah, it's on the list of stuff that should be more prominent now.
Probably sounds very bad and doesn't listen to any podcast at all, really.
So I put it into the Etherpad.
Oh, into the show notes.
Yeah, and it's on the HBR thing underneath Meet the Team and right above latest shows. Please help out tagging other shows. So we have two shows on Doe, which is 1327 and 1827. 1327, 1827. One by Frank Bell, who bakes bread.
Yeah.
And one by Dave Morris on part of the series Cooking. Interesting. And Cooking, we have your one. Sorifitito, whatever that is, as I butcher the name. That's my joke. Making crepes, making sauerkraut, making bramble jelly, killer klespas, kielbasas, baking your bread, chocolate chip cookies, dummy on oats, Alpha 32's Pinehead oats, Frank 5 sea bread, how to make kombucha tea. Steel cut. This is actually a lot longer than I thought it would be. Blender walk, cookie show. Okay, so there you are. That and sourdough. Do we have a sourdough?
I can't. I'm still searching.
Yeah, sourdough. 1327. That's the one you're looking
1327,
for.
1327. Right.
Ah, you thought you got to read 4 or 5 things, and you. Oh God, it's a whole list.
Yep.
Do you guys have a mailing list?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, Because
hackerpublicradio.org at the end.
No, I don't want to get in on this because I didn't realize it was a mail list.
Ah.
I thought it was like a RSS feed that used to give me updates. I didn't realize what it was. I never been
oh, the mail list is for
mailing list the, before.
Okay, the mailing list isn't for the cooking as such.
No, no, but I didn't know what the mailing list was before I downloaded it to your place and understand my whole mail application get very fast filled up. It felt like spam because you said it didn't happen, it didn't make an update, but when I joined it, it was like 50, 100, 500 unread mails I got. It just keep growing, you know, but you probably doesn't use your mail, a different mail client or something to it.
Oh, okay.
No, it was growing and growing, I didn't understand what it was. Because each time someone replies, it gets sent to all people. Before I knew it, this was because I had all my mail clients in one application. And normally I have around 20 unread messages, mails. But after I donated you, I have like 500 unread. And the next time I look at it, this is about 1,000, and it's just growing.
Be that many.
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't be. Well, there's should something wrong because it's only there's only a few mails a month, if that.
Yeah, it was. I just joined a very unlucky year. You have more traffic than normally do.
Okay.
I was very unlucky because I'd kind of talk to you about the place and it's unreasonable. Like maybe 20 a month. Okay, totally fine. But I kind of try to follow halfway. But after I read like 500 messages, I was kind of,
Talking about the mailing list.
I've just gone into
my email and found an email.
because I thought this was like a RSS feed you have on kind of if you are on a blog kind of thing. I thought it was like that, but it's not like that. I didn't know what I'm. I didn't know how horrible a mail list can be if you need to read the few messages you get on the mail.
Okay, I'm gonna go have breakfast. Back in a bit.
It's like your Telegram thing, I think, Tony.
The mailing list is nothing like that. No, but
it's as horrible in you get unread kind of deal feeling.
Yeah, but like I say, the HPR mailing list has got nowhere near that. Some months you don't, some months you only get the one message.
I probably just was very, very unlucky when I don't, because it was more was getting into me and I was getting rid of it. Was no, maybe not. It was not. Maybe you didn't. I probably send. I have some auto send back and kind of stuff. I probably just made it worse myself because I didn't understand how it worked. Each time I said that, please do not send this message to me or something like that.
Someone's got an echo.
Yeah. One of spawns.
Just a minute. I can't. I'm on my phone. I'm trying to mute.
Phones should auto mute. Caveat. That should be like a default setting on.
Yeah.
Android.
What client are you using on your Android?
It's Mumble Plumble or Mumble or something. Probably. One of all three. Because I got my friend to install a Mumble. I didn't mean to get him to install that, but he found Mumble, so okay, he got Mumble on his phone. I wonder if that's going to work at all.
How's that? I think maybe the volume was too loud, or do you still get feedback?
Doesn't seem to be.
Doesn't seem to be loud, because it was very loud when you were feeding back the noises.
Okay, I'm mostly listening now.
I'm going to go for a little wander because my back popped this morning and just sitting on the computer chairs making it stiffen up.
Oh, Ken is going offline. You is going away. One of Spoon is on his phone. So, who is left to talk to?
I'm still here.
Oh, you are still here. Sorry. Sorry, I forgot you. You're probably the only one still here. Because Joe has not talked in 8 hours or so. Funky Mango has not talked since I joined. He has texted, but not talked. Not sure if he had one mic at all. And Arch has texted, but never talked. And you have no headset, and each time he's open his mic and someone talking, it's totally echoing the whole room. I forget about him, sorry.
Hi, Mordency. It's been a long time, bud.
I know. I still have HPR Anarchy shirts for you.
Oh, my word. How do I get in touch with you?
Mordency@gmail. Probably work. Any address you had for me before should work. I made the screen just for you. It's a handmade screen. I hand painted it, and I put so it's got a vertical with an A on it, like kind of more punk rocky than official Anarchy logo. And in the crossbar on the A, I filled in HPR real small.
I'm quite excited. That's Christmas present.
I don't know what color shirts I still have. I haven't printed in a long time. I brought a handful of them to the Linux Fest was after the last time I saw you. I brought a whole stack of them and ended up giving them to people. I think Big Flip got a couple of them. Somebody was supposed to get some to you. Probably not Klaatu, but somebody in that group when we got in trouble out in the circle talk during the closing keynote at the Ohio Linux Fest.
Things happen.
How's it up there in Maine? You're still in Maine, right?
No, I'm a little bit further north, bud.
Canada?
Yes, sir. I live in New Brunswick, Canada.
Should we not talk about personal stuff? I keep forgetting.
It's public knowledge. Public knowledge, I believe.
Okay.
How have you been?
I probably haven't talked to you in 4 years.
That sounds about right. Maybe five. I'm the sole Linux admin, architect, engineer, whatever, for North, South, and Central America, and have our part in Asia, Africa, Europe. Have you heard of Greif Industrial Packaging?
I have not.
They started in Ohio 146 years ago or something like that. The railroads were being built after the Civil War. They're a green company. They're socially or ecologically conscious. They are one of the largest land managers in the U.S. in Canada. All the way back in the late 1800s, they were making sure they had enough oak trees growing, land with oak trees, to supply 30 years of increased productivity, increased product. But they make like the steel drums that things are shipped in, the plastic drums, the square cubes, the stuff everything is shipping globally. The over 200 factories and 120 countries.
That sounds like a place to work.
It is very stressful. The infrastructure side is so understaffed. In Europe, the counterparts, there were three or four Linux guys when I started in 2017, and all but one of them have left, and they have no plans to replace anybody. You know, in Office Space where they had the two Bobs?
I believe so.
They came in to downsize everybody. They had one of those consulting firms they hired that came in, make more money the more cuts they tell you to make. And they told Greif they needed to hire more IT people.
They needed to hire more?
They needed to hire more? Wow.
Yeah, yeah. There's no redundancy in any of our positions. Our DBA passed, not officially, but both him and I had in February. We had people in and out of China, and there were about a dozen of us that got deathly ill. And the ones that did go to the doctor, figure out, you know, they tested negative for everything at the time, and COVID wasn't here. But I'm pretty sure that we all had. And then he passed away 2 months later. So we had no Oracle DBA. Our Oracle stuff's been messed up. The whole company's going to collapse. But other than having too much work to do, it is all Linux work. So that's good.
I've gone out of technology, and now I went and did some electrical training, and now I'm an electrician.
I have friends that that argue type of skilled occupations are a keystone to keep society running, but that's what won't be replaced by AI. Programmers will.
I work at a tissue plant.
I work
It's kind of fun.
I don't see much automation replacing what I do.
I'm a cleaner.
I'm a cleaner. It's
straightforward.
You don't have a headset.
I don't have one on.
Am I
echoing now.
I've just went out of Wi-Fi range. I hear myself.
I cannot hear you echoing.
I believe it's you more than C that's doing the echo.
Should I put on headphones?
Or enable push to talk.
I'm on Plumble. I don't see a push to talk.
You should look up Moomla. It's the updated version of Plumble.
I put on
and then
headphones.
Transmission mode.
But it's nice to hear somebody else talking on Android.
I'm on Android.
What was the name of the app again?
Mumla.
Hang on a moment. I'll drop a link in the chat here.
LA.
I don't know how to access the chat.
M-U-M-L-A.
Mumble, Mumble?
M-U-M, Mike, Uniform, Mike, Lima, Alpha.
There's four of them?
I got mine from F-Droid.
As did I.
Oh no, ran off Mordency.
What's that? You think we lost Mordency?
Oh, it's fantastic. We just got a snowfall warning.
A what warning?
Snowfall. We're going to get a lot of white stuff. It's times like these. I wish I lived in Australia.
To not have snow? Wait, actually, they do in certain parts.
I'd want to live in Melbourne, somewhere coastal, maybe close to Peter 64.
Yeah, but then you'd have a lot of latency.
There's snow here.
In Australia also have a big car wall. Well, I just stomped all over you. Want a spoon? Go ahead.
Really not important. I can't find my cold chisel. I'm only mentioning it because like, you do when you're for a while.
It looks like everybody went away. 5 a.m. time to make coffee. I wonder if anybody discussed how they make coffee in the morning. It's 5 a.m. my time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I will actually make coffee now, I guess.
You can grind your own beans.
Yeah. You have a lot of echo, Archer 72.
Must be where I'm at. I was in the kitchen.
Or I think you do.
Must be where I'm at. I don't know, is that better?
I don't know. It seems that every time anyone says something, I hear it again 1 second later.
Maybe the server or maybe the mobile app I'm using.
Including myself, which is weird. Anyway, no, I generally don't grind my own beans. Well, not generally, I just don't.
No, I'm lazy that way too. I use a bun coffee maker, and it's a pre-warmed section, and so you just pour in the cold water and to put out the hot water that was in the reservoir.
I think it's fine if you don't grind your own beans. It's obviously better, but as long as you don't go the instant granules route, then it's all good.
Okay, I think I might have fixed my sound problem. No, forget that. No, I don't.
It's Friday then.
Yes, it is.
Still can't find that link. Hold on a sec.
Which link?
We know you're...
Yes. 35 minutes.
To the last one?
Mm-hmm. Gonna check if to see if that Mastodon thing worked.
Ooh, the bot. Did you get it up?
Yep. They approved an account, yeah. But I didn't see any of them coming in. I'm just going to check the account now. One second.
Nice. That was quick.
Yeah, considering the day.
And again, I forgot to switch my input when I turned on my laptop.
Huh.
Wish I could figure out how to auto-switch that. But I was asking, does Baker Island include the Hawaiian Islands?
I think they already went. There's a good interactive calendar on timeanddate.com.
And that's what I was going off of, because Zulu time confused me completely. I was trying to go off the show notes.
Okay. No, the count is up, but it didn't seem to take the RSS feed. Maybe why not?
No, I didn't see one of you yet. And the Mastodon tab open.
It's the account is HPR at botsinspace. I don't see anything.
There, I just found you and it's subscribed to it.
Very good, very good. But why did it not work? Where would I see my own posts?
Seems to have no posts yet.
No.
There we go. There, already got some community engagement.
Excellent. No need for diaspora then. Unbelievable, I haven't been following you on my own account. Anyway, we'll fix that.
Ha! I don't post much.
Yeah, neither do I. Alright, what went wrong?
Wait, today's not a work day for you, right?
Hold on, it did work, according to Dave Morris's. As he has a screenshot of it. Okay? First, that brings up two important questions. Why am I not seeing it? And why is B after A? I need some sleep. Why is Dave Morris not on Mumble talking to us?
He's probably having some coffee. Wait, it's 11.
Probably in the kitchen, working on his database.
Why would he have a database in the kitchen?
Because Dave has a database for recipes and stuff, and cooks quite a lot. And nice. Dave's database is for everything.
Does he want to share that on HPR? Because at some point I think I might actually start saving recipes somewhere. Or I'll just keep cooking as I do.
We have a recipe series, a cooking series, so feel free to join that.
Well, okay,
go ahead over.
I was just saying I mostly rip off Chef John. Over.
No worries, over. The over will get very annoying for people after a while. Over.
Indeed, over.
Sometimes it's best to go under, over.
That joke was already made yesterday.
Yeah, good. Okay, so why am I not seeing my own pulse then?
Have you tried following yourself? Over.
Can you? Why would you need to?
You could follow HPR at Bots in Space with your Ken Fallon account.
Oh, I have, but I don't see it. That's the thing.
Oh, goodness. Because I see them.
Oh, hold on. I see it now.
I see them. 1 a.m.
Okay. Okay. Yes, that's perfect. So what's my problem? Why it's at 1 a.m. But okay, fine. We'll leave that off. Everything's working fine. Yeah, okay, thanks. Right, fair enough. One second. Yeah, now when I click on it, it has three toots.
All right, I didn't see that post until now.
Yeah, that's strange. Maybe it needed the Hello World kick in the butt one.
Yeah, always helps.
Okay, so fine, that was painless. Something off the list. Good.
Okay, I pinned it in my profile so I can use my, influencer profiles. Influencer powers.
Okay, you've lost me. Does that, help?
I have no idea. It's like putting an advert in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, very good. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Hello.
Voice Commander closed the ticket about the upgrading the server with the message, this notification is to let you know that we are changing the status of the ticket to closed because we didn't receive a response from you in 72 hours. Well, that's because I responded and you ignored me.
Yeah. We received your message while we weren't looking and didn't look any further. So, yeah, sounds like a good excuse to leave those people and go somewhere else.
This is the Mumble server, right?
Yeah.
So I am in my kitchen. Well, kitchen dining area, which is the...
Working on a database.
Actually uploading next week's shows to the Internet Archive was what I was doing. But we're going to have a family cookout, or cook-in, or whatever you call it, a bit later on. We're making something moderately complex, and they're all going to pile in together and cook bits. So I'm just getting ready for that.
Nice. What you having? Select asterisk from.
Ken is winding me up because I do have a database in which there are meal things, not recipes, but meal things. And because my son, his girlfriend, and my daughter come over once a week for two evenings to eat with me, I wrote this thing to allow me to select from the sort of favorite menus that we eat, and it does it randomly. So I run this every Thursday or something, and then we know what we're having for the following week. So, as you do, you know, I mean, you've got computers, you've got databases.
Perfectly normal.
Yeah, why not?
That is a great idea.
Although it does smack of something that in the year 2000, people will be using the databases in their kitchens, cooking lovely meals for the family.
So true, even today.
That is very much in something. I don't know. My coffee still isn't working.
Have more.
So anyway, what I was going to say is that apparently Metropolis has become public domain today. The 1925 movie or 27, something like that.
Oh, wow. Finally.
It only took 95 years.
Nuts. It's absolutely nuts.
What database... DBMS do you use for that?
I was trying to time share there with something else. I use SQLite for this because it's just a single use thing. So, and it's pretty easy to make databases that stuff, and also get some quite sophisticated features. I always thought that it was a toy system until I actually started using it. It's really quite powerful given what it is.
Yeah, I also always use SQLite.
Yeah, it's... when you enable the relational stuff, which is not on by default, at least it wasn't in the version I set up originally, then you can do pretty much everything you'd want to do. There's triggers and all of that sort of stuff. You know? I mean, in many cases, if you want something very sophisticated, you have to write it yourself. But there's an API that you can work to you can write stuff in C. People have been using it in that way, even in multi-user mode, I believe. I seem to remember somebody talking about it on Floss Weekly some months ago, years ago.
Oh, okay. I stopped following Floss Weekly a while ago.
Yeah, I stopped once Randall Schwartz left or was pushed or whatever. It was.
Do you know what happened?
I don't. I've tried to get as much information as possible about that, but there's so little. He was very... very coy about, and of course they were very not very forthcoming about what they'd done, but it couldn't have been very good because he didn't want to speak about it.
I was a bit confused. One day I just came back and he wasn't there and said, what?
Yeah, he'd been doing that job for a long time. It's a shame in a way, though. I was just getting a bit bored with it because the ratio of stuff that interested me to stuff that didn't was changing in the wrong direction for me. So I was thinking of stopping listening, and that precipitated as far as I was concerned.
Yeah, Floss Weekly actually got me in here. The interview with Ken.
Oh, cool.
But surely you'd been around before that, or not? What? Or not. I'm sure you had been around in the community prior to that.
I only really noticed the community at when, yeah, when I saw it on Plus.
Oh, there you go. That was a really strange experience getting interviewed like that.
Yeah, I imagine so.
It was very, the description, one podcast a day, sounded a bit excessive.
Mm-hmm. And it is, actually.
Yeah, I think we probably said that a few times, Ken, haven't we?
Yeah.
Especially when people have said, why don't you do some on weekends as well? It's probably enough.
Oh, what moron would say that, Dave?
I don't know. Somebody completely misguided, probably.
And Happy New Year.
Good year and Happy New Morning.
Who was that?
Honking Lou.
Ah, he's back. You just want to close it up and start the editing now, because it'll take about 6 months to get it all edited together.
Probably.
Well, we're going to keep recording. You know the rule.
Yeah, as long as there's people here talking.
Hi, Honky. How are you?
Morning, Dave. How are you?
Oh, good, good. You having a good new year so far?
So far, yeah.
Good, good, good.
Okay, now find Klaatu's RSS feed. Oh, it's an RSS feed. I have it in my RSS reader. Hold on 1 second. Found it. mixsignals.ml/games/rpg.xml.
Is this working?
The calendar, the iCal that Klaatu keeps for the games.
Okay. That's fine. And, sorry, go on. I was going to tell you that all of the shows apart from the community news got uploaded to Internet Archive, okay?
Super. I'll be posting the rest of the backlog today.
Cool.
If I get around to it.
Excellent.
I actually want to... Do you want to have a talk about the... well, just for people's background information. Well, in 9 minutes 30 seconds, this thing is officially over, but in 9 minutes 24 seconds, 2020 is officially over, so let's do it after that. But I did want to have a chat about the broken hard disk and how you can post shows to the archive straight away. Is it a good idea to have the dummy shows in first for the next year and then replace them? And how will the archive feel about that?
Oh, I'm sure they wouldn't bother at all. I certainly rewrite stuff on the Internet Archive. I rewrite our shows, I should say, when there are changes. I mean, if somebody asked for an edit to be done to the notes, then I would go and propagate that to the IA version as well. So, no, I don't think they're at all bothered. It's certainly doable. I'd need to change my code to handle it, because the thing that does the upload assumes that it is to go and find all the bits of the show on the HBR database and upload whatever's relevant, notes and other files. But replacing stuff is manual at the moment. So... So it would require some coding, not a lot really, because the manual process of doing it isn't hugely complex. Swallowed some coffee the wrong way when you made me laugh earlier. Still suffering. So in principle, yeah, why not? But we need to work out the details.
Yeah, exactly. So the way we're doing it now is the show gets uploaded. All this is on the GitHub page, by the way, including sequence diagrams. Not GitHub, GitLab page. And then we put I process the re-encode the shows and put them onto the hard disk. I post them onto the HBR website. And then Dave then takes the shows from the Internet Archive version and then puts that the week before the shows get posted up onto the Internet Archive. And unfortunately, through some bad luck on our part, the hard disk broke and we lost. I had to re-encode the HBR versions or the Internet Archive versions. So that just highlighted the fact that we should probably post directly as soon as we're processing the shows. Basically split off. I think that would actually allow us to split off the encoding and the show notes editing, Dave.
Uh-huh.
Because it wouldn't matter in which order they were done then.
Yeah.
So if you say I take down the shows, the physical media, do that bit, and then post. If okay, say we already have slots on Internet Archive for the next 263 slots, and then I can post. That gives me a placeholder to push the content to, and then the show notes can be done either before or afterwards. It would actually make a lot more sense.
There are some weirdnesses in the way that Internet Archive accepts stuff, because each show that we upload is a separate item. I know a lot of podcasts just basically have one item with lots and lots of shows attached to it, lots of bits of audio, but I designed it to make an item per show, because that was the way to make it also display the notes as the description part of the Internet Archive entity item, I think they call it, the object that you're building. You've got to be careful the way that you initially upload it. And I'm a little vague about how, because I've been down this hole before and forgotten. But I'll have notes. I'll have notes that will go into gory detail. But if you don't get it right, you end up with an item that you can't then turn into the shape that you want. So I've had to go to the staff and ask them to take it down so I could rebuild it. So that is just a thing you need to plan properly.
It's not something we're going to rush into now.
No. But it's probably doable. I mean, basically, there's a tool that I use for this that I didn't write. It's written by somebody who is a contributor to IA, which is a Python script that lets you do this stuff. So you can do things like say to it, go to this item and replace this component of it and stuff like that. So it's not it's pretty easy. I have not had there's not been anything that I've failed to do, except if the show gets posted wrongly, the categorization is only something that the staff can change. So we post them on the podcast, and if you post them without saying what it is, they get added to, I can't remember what category it is, but it's sort of a miscellaneous category, and the users can't change them.
Uncle, you going to do the deed?
Let's say Happy New Year to everybody. Because like you said earlier, bro, we're going to keep the recording going until...
we have to do an official ending, you know.
Oh, sure. 7 o'clock, I'll do somewhat official 14, ending. Yeah, I'm going to check with Kevin. I have one point where I all of a sudden came down here to restart the audio recording, and it was just not running. So in my recordings, I'm going to be missing a little bit of a chunk. So
I have everything here.
Awesome.
With my cool epoch date and ISO 8601 date. So yeah, should be easy enough to align them based on UTC.
Cool. Thank you.
Might be no harm also to paste in the chat from Mumble into the Etherpad at the bottom of the Etherpad, probably.
Yep, we could do that.
The issue is if you close Mumble for any reason, it disappears. So I don't know if somebody has had their Mumble open the whole time. Would have got the whole chat, because I don't.
Yeah, mine was open the whole time.
Okay, do a select all copy and put it into a text file real quick. So you're going to close it up officially?
Yep, one sec here. I was just putting that into the text file.
3, 2, 1, go!
All right. So this has been the end of the 9th annual Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show. I want to say greetings to small region of the United States, Baker Island and Howland Islands. Does anyone want to sing "Auld Lang Syne"?
Nope.
Can't sing.
Neither can I. I was going to rely on the rest of you.
Don't even know the lyrics.
Can sing the
in the show
the software song.
If you want to kick it up, I'll back you up. How about that?
Oh, there's that countdown script. I was wondering where it was.
Was it at the beginning of the Etherpad?
It's at the very end.
The end.
Blah. This is the thing about the New Year show. You go, all right, yeah, everything's on there. I'll kind of definitely
tidy up that, and then next year comes along and you go, how was it? How did I do that again? And come back to old versions from 4 years ago.
No, I didn't edit the end here. Mumble server was supplied by the wonderful HPR community, Ken Fallon.
No, who originally had the Mumble server?
John Neustadter.
Ah, yeah, John. God, sorry.
That's right. The stream was with Kevin Wisher, and then you read it in, as well?
No, Kevin had the stream. John had the Mumble server for ages, and I just took it over. So, yeah, good. But I don't need credit, that's fine. The joy of the community is enough for me. One of my daughters has surfaced. I'll go and say hello. Back in a bit.
All right, I'm going to go get some, maybe get some breakfast. I'll leave the recording going. I do want to say thank you again to everybody for coming on. And it seems like this was a very, very good year for the New Year show. I don't think I was ever on here once where there wasn't somebody talking. So there's probably lots of good audio.
Yeah, thanks for all your efforts, Honky. Most appreciated.
No problem. It's not a big deal. Like I said, the hardest part's usually just the audio editing, getting it all together.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I've watched from a distance in the past, never been directly involved. But I can sort out the show notes but, if you need help, that is.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel there's so many things that, so many audio applications that seem to choke on large audio files, and I think that's the challenge, really.
Yeah, Audacity's fine and stuff, but there are limits, I guess. I've not tried to push it to the limits.
And I've found so many audio players, too, that just seem to choke on large audio.
It's not surprising, I suppose.
Like on mobile, but there was last year's audio that I had, my version of the audio, and the VLC choked on it, and I was really shocked by that.
Yeah, I've not had that experience, but it's probably because I always mostly listen to stuff on MP3 players, and I've got a bunch of those, and they don't seem on the whole to be that bothered by file sizes. You know, I've got multiple hour shows on there with no trouble, but AntennaPod's pretty good now actually on the phone, but it has had problems in the past.
Now, do you just throw straight up audio files at AntennaPod?
I selectively download stuff on AntennaPod, so I don't have auto download set for all of the feeds. I just go to a feed and download everything and put it in the queue and then listen to them that way. It's sometimes it's a good thing too, because my homebrew podcast management thing just churns away with downloading every day and then making it makes a database of everything, and I can then go and play stuff from it. But I usually do them in time order and grouped by feed or a batch of feeds. So the problem with doing it that way is that I get so behind sometimes. At the moment, I've got 16 gigabytes of unlistened stuff on the system, you know. So there's times when I'm thinking, I really want to listen to this one. I want to catch up. I'm currently listening to the next Lugcast, actually, because I'm way behind with that, you know. So it's useful to do that on the phone.
Yeah. But that on the phone is about the only way I can do it.
I got a new pair of Bluetooth headphones, earphones, I guess, for Christmas. My kids bought for me. And so the phone plus them is really quite nice, actually. I might switch away from my homebrew system. I don't know. You'll see.
Well, recently I got into the audiobooks. I know I'd listened to Joe talking about the Dresden File books. And I was gonna go get my teeth worked on, and when they initially were talking, they said that there was gonna be a long process, so I was debating. So I was gonna try and listen to something during this, because just sitting there clenching my eyes and holding onto the side while they work on my teeth to just whatever music they had in the background didn't seem very, like a very good time. So I found Ready Player One from archive.org, in archive.org, actually. So I wound up downloading that. I didn't wind up listening to anything during it, and they didn't wind up spending as much time working on my teeth as they initially said they were. I think just looking at me, you know, just the 1 hour that they did work on me, looking at me, they decided to just space them out a couple of days, you know, 1 month at a time, maybe. But it kind of reinvigorated my love for listening to audiobooks. So I went and I downloaded all of the Dresden Files. So I've been listening to a lot of audiobooks.
That's good. Yeah. I just recently I contributed to the Kickstarter, I think it was, Cory Doctorow, he's a science fiction writer, and he made quite a lot of his books available as audiobooks via the Kickstarter. Plus, he gives away quite a lot of his stuff, so I was happy to, and I listened to a fair bit of it, and I was quite happy to you know, throw some money his way because of his generous outlook on this sort of stuff. So, you ever listened to him? Have you come across him at all?
No, I've heard of him, but I haven't listened to him yet.
I think he was a founder of was it the EFF or the EFSF or something, one of those activist organizations. So he's quite an impressive guy. But
I've seen Cory Doctorow, the name, about places, but I don't know where.
Yeah, he used to live in the UK. Doesn't anymore. He's a Canadian, I think. I'm not sure where he is now. But he is often keynote speaker at various things, you know.
Might have been a digital certificate, actually.
Ah, okay. I think he was a keynote at the Hope Conference, for example, the last one that was done virtually. And he's been on previous ones as well. So, yeah, he's an excellent speaker. Anyway, his audio books are pretty good because he reads them. So nothing quite like having the author reading their own book. They get all the pronunciations right, which is cool.
Very American-centric, his books are. So I don't get as much out of them as most people would. As in, I don't know about American football or baseball, etc., etc. And obviously then the science fiction derivatives of, say...
When I was... in my teens, I went through the local library reading everything science fiction, and the vast majority of it was American-based stuff, you know, apart from maybe Arthur Clarke, but Arthur C. Clarke, I should say. And so I sort of got into the way of basically skipping over those references that I didn't fully understand. So it doesn't bother me over much.
All right, I think the kids are getting a bit rowdy upstairs, so I will talk to you guys later. Hopefully people will be on later.
Cheerio.
Bye, Hongi.
Happy New Year.
And to you.
And to continue with my CD archiving-ish project.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to go and do various cooking-related things, I think, so I'm going to disappear now. My kids will be over in the next hour or two. Quite a nice day here, actually. But so they might be out walking in the hills. Anyway, they'll be over later.
Alrighty, toodlepips.
Okay,
talk
bye.
To you tomorrow.
Yeah, true enough. Yes. See you later.
Bye.
We'll see 09L again. It seemed pretty interesting when I was talking to him. I just hope he comes into the community.
Alrighty, next. He's back. This time it's personal.
So, turns out there's a database of leap seconds in your computer.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I had to work with leap seconds a while ago, and it was very annoying.
I was just checking out the lounge. A couple guys are catching up with each other.
Good, good, good.
I just thought I'd leave them alone.
Nice and sunny here.
Nasty and rainy here.
No sun yet here.
You in Ireland?
Stockholm.
Tuck, tuck, tuck.
Vassergod.
That's the extent of my Swedish.
More than I knew when I got here.
Where'd you get there from?
Portugal.
Ah. Did you come up for the snow?
Yeah.
Or find some evidence?
I was thinking of emigrating to Portugal. Why did you leave?
Just came here for studying and stayed. It is a fine country to emigrate to, I would think.
I like growing things, plants, you know, for food.
Ah, yeah, that's more difficult in Sweden, I can tell you. Where are you in?
In the UK, Midlands.
Ah, nice.
It's fine, really. It's just a bit lonely. I mean, there are plenty of people. Just sometimes you want to be with people who have similar, you know, interests and want to build a place.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Interesting. My wife is, she is a something that doesn't translate into English, but it's amazing how often she refers to the need for finding your own community and stuff in her work.
Yeah, you can give to a lot of people, or you can you want to keep going and you want to keep building things, but you see how your work kind of just evaporates, or it gets cannibalized by I don't know, enough said.
Yeah, I have the feeling we're going to head into interesting territory over a pint, perhaps. Or not the entire world is listening to it.
Right, well, like I've mentioned 3 times since last night, I've got audio in the directory, but it needs stitching together. And it's just, you know, how you, I guess it's going to be along the lines of, I'd probably go by interruption, by what counts as a valid interruption to the thing that you were doing already, you know, and what is that based on? Intention, about intention. It goes quite well with computing, you know, and directives and all of that stuff.
Okay. You going to do a show on this?
We'll see what it turns into. But yeah,
avoid
sure,
perfection, sir. Perfection.
Right. Just so long as it needs to pass, you know, it needs to be grammatically consistent.
Well, now you said yeah, sure. So I guess it's owed now.
Like I said, there's audio in the directory, and I know how to use the I know how to do it. I think I've got a friend. I talked to my friend about you know, altering the audio to make sure it's, we just put a filter on it or something. He's up for it.
Yeah, but don't listen. The number of shows that I've lost due to people going, oh, I have it recorded and I just need to edit it a little bit and whatever. Whack it into Audacity, truncate silence, and send it in. That's all you need to do. And if you don't know how to do any of that, just upload it. This is what HBR is all about. You get your first show in, and then you can do the perfection later.
Yeah, no worries. I've been encouraged by all of the non-perfect versions. And it's quite funny. Did you say someone used their speaker as a microphone? I didn't hear that episode, but I thought that's inspiring.
That's hardcore, that is. Well, it was an excuse for it back in the day, because when HBR started, you know, mobile phones didn't exist. You know, mobile phones in the current form, you know, supercomputers in our pockets didn't exist. So, like, people had, maybe might have had a headset, but not a lot more. So yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. I did the yogurt pots and string. I made a record player out of Meccano when I was, I don't know how old, it was sub 9 years old. And yeah, I used you remember the polystyrene curry pots from the chip shop, and a pin.
Yep.
And I used one of my parents' jukebox records, and I just wound the thing by hand. But it worked.
Wow, awesome. Meccano was a really cool thing. I never had enough. I preferred Meccano over Lego, but you could never get it. It was really expensive. And now the modern version of Meccano is just all plastic and bits.
I nearly said that very same thing. My dad had a bunch of old, you know, there was some bits of Meccano, not enough, but compared to Lego, it was no contest, really.
No.
You just had a lot more freedom with Meccano. There's some of the Chinese brands that still do the, like, metal bits. The brand is not Meccano itself. So, like, whenever I get a chance, I buy my son some random thing, and then eventually just, like, encourage him to, you know, just don't follow the instructions. Try and, you know, create something of your own. And he's come up with quite a few good things. But personally for me, I did prefer Lego when I was small.
Also a bit of hacking in that, because we had the, what's it called, Lego Technica, but then I would take one of the gears and glue it onto a little DC motor, one of those 1.5 volt motors, and then start to make, you know, electric or reactive Lego things that I built. And that, yeah, I mean, that was one of my favorite things to do.
Well, my brother had technical Lego, but I remember him now walking in, and he was he had the mains electricity, 240 volts, plugged into a cactus.
Oh,
that's insane.
It was dangerous. I mean, he must have been, what, 10 years old?
That actually reminds me of one of my first mishaps. So in South Africa, we've got 220 volts. And I've always wanted my own, like, bed lamp or nightlight or whatever. And my parents didn't want that. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to build my own. And I saw, like, I don't know if you guys know the bayonet-style globe. It's got the two little knobbies on the side that you push in, and then you give it a twist, and then it connects to the socket.
Yeah,
it's not
those.
The screw-in type. So I figured, okay, no, go to the garage, get a plug, get a piece of wire, and then I just wired to those two little knobs, because I thought those would be the connection point, and wired it up and connected it to the plug, everything sorted. It's got like a, I think probably what, 30 centimeter piece of wire. I was 7 or 8 at the time. So I plugged it in, and when I hit that,
I'm only laughing because you're here to tell the story.
Yeah, but I crapped myself. And then the lights went off, the power tripped, and I was white. I was like silent, shaking. And my parents just came running into my room, and there was still some smoldering bits of carpet, and I was just sitting there. It's like, what the hell just happened? But yeah.
My mother, I recall a story now. She said my brother did make a blue light in the sewing machine with a screwdriver.
That's the same. That's the same blue light that makes the magic smoke escape.
Very angry pixies.
Oh, that's hilarious. Big Clive would be proud.
I did appreciate that HPR episode on basic electrical safety, and I didn't, because when I go out the house in the morning about 4 o'clock and I shut off the electricity, you know, my switch was slightly loaded. Now I do use the what do you call it, the not the circuit breakers, the other things, the RCDs, which are more, you're meant to test them once in a while, but not as often as I was doing. So yeah, I do unload my switches now before I go out. It's good to know.
They're quite affordable. They you can get them for extension. I got one for about €23 for an extension for power tools. So it's like an outdoor weatherproof IP60 something cool thing. It's just an extension cord plugs into the socket, and then you plug your power tool into that. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
I meant on the in the box in the wall, which I did fit myself, actually.
Yeah, true enough, yeah.
It's a funny story. I might relate that. One time I've been showered by molten droplets of copper when I moved my own power supply, because it's expensive to get that stuff done. No, I mean, where the box comes
for
in
a
from
reason.
The mains. Yeah, like 400, what is it, 400 volts in your house, or 1,000? I can't remember. But I have to move the meter. That's what I mean, that spinning wheel. It used to be a spinning wheel. Now, it's a smart meter now, but... we had a metal, an ancient metal fuse box where, honestly, you pull out the fuse, which is in a Bakelite holder, and the Bakelite cracked and snapped and left me holding the fuse holder that I took out. But anyway, when I had my insulated pliers and gloves and everything, but the end of the pliers, it cut through the insulation and touched the side of the metal box. And yeah, the end of the pliers just disappeared, and I was showered with the molten copper from the cable. So yeah, I nearly died there for sure. I nearly set fire to the cupboard as well. Oh, all to beat it. Like, yeah. You definitely don't do that.
Yeah, no, I've had some similar experiences where I installed... actually, quite recently, I think it was about a year ago, I installed some extra power points in the garage, because every time I had to like walk around the corner, if I want to plug in a grinder or something like that, or use extension leads, just at my workbench, I wanted some PowerPoints, installed that, and I switched off the, on the DB board, I switched off the power, so I thought I was safe. And somewhere along the line, the neutral and live wire was swapped around somewhere in that circuit. And then I just gripped with pliers, and because it's a solid copper strand, and I just wanted to flatten it out so that I can get it into that screw hole and tighten it down. As with full force, I gripped that wire, and man, did it bit me. It bit me solid. So yeah, now be careful. I think watch Electro Boom and just learn from his mistakes.
Yeah, and yeah, Big Clive does this, and there's another chap. One second.
Oh my word, as the electrician, I am dying of laughter over here.
I think that a good thing to relate to people, because a big strong guy at work, you know, and I'm trying to tell him, it's not that the current needs to knock you over, yeah? It just interferes with your heart, you know? It needs to be that less than sub 30 milliamps, is it? It's like, and it starts, it can do damage at less than that.
You're interested in some of this
stuff.
Yes,
I think the most important...
John Ward does some very good stuff.
Yeah, John?
John Ward, another YouTube channel. Recommended to me by Big Clive.
I'm going to look out for that. But I think, yeah, one of the most important things, if you work on something that might end up giving you a shock, just keep one of your hands behind your back so that it's just one hand getting electrocuted, and then you'll find it normally just goes up all the way to maybe your elbow or whatever. But the moment that you get shocked between your two hands, that current is moving straight through your heart, and that's not the ideal situation.
For sure you were too close if that was your that was your last resort. But it's true.
One of those little voltage testers that operates off of a counter electromagnetic force and detects the EMF field around the wire, then makes a little beep beep beep. There's current on.
Yeah, I have one of those.
I always go in with a multimeter and test for positive and have a reference test as well. You know, so, but yeah, for sure, if you can't just turn off that one circuit breaker, it's been covered in the HPR episode, but you don't know who's been in there before you, and you have to turn all of that power off, don't you? And then test again, really. Even then, I don't like to touch the wire.
Power is off is to cut the wire.
Yeah, I think what I do these days is I've got a main switch on the outside of the house, which is a 60 amp switch, and that one disconnects both live and neutral. So once that's disconnected, then yeah, it's basically, as Cobra said, then it's like the wire is cut, and that is the safest way.
I guess it's
so
when you're in a
UPS.
Sorry.
Do you have a battery backup, uninterrupted power supply?
I've got one connected to my computer, one that I modified myself. So I've built a 37 amp hour UPS with an additional charger just to run my Mac and my screen and maybe the fan. And it's good to go for about 2.5 hours.
I'll put some links to those YouTube channels into the Etherpad.
With an uninterrupted power supply, you can turn your breakers off and you still have power there.
But it doesn't feed back into the main circuit. So it runs from the main circuit. I've plugged it in there, and then my Mac and my screen is connected to the UPS.
Okay, so it's a standalone device. It's not feeding back
into your panel. Feeding back into your panel.
Yeah, no, it's standalone. But yeah, this actually reminds me of another story. So I'm quite into electronics and things like that. So I've built my own hi-fi. The preamp is a vacuum valve, and then the power amp is solid state based on the, what's it, NAP 250 design from Avondale. And while I was busy building the power supply boards, the caps were charged with about, I think, 150 volts DC, and I was testing the board and making sure I'm safe and everything. I disconnected, then I wanted to test the channel from the other board, and not thinking about these caps, I'm sitting in like small running shorts at my desk, and I placed that fully charged board with the pins down on my leg with a swing voltage of about 150 volts. Man, that left a mark.
Yeah, exactly. That electrical stuff.
And that was DC. That DC hurts a lot more than AC.
Yeah, just that current across you interfering with your nervous system to stop your heart. I mean, you get burns anyway, right? But heart attack's bad. It's bad.
Yeah, so I think this one didn't reach my heart and couldn't because it's basically just I placed the board on my leg, so it was localized in that area. But yeah, it did give me a bit of a reminder just to think while working. And some of these vacuum valves can operate up to about 400 volts, and that will just not be fun.
Right. I'm quite attracted by high voltage, and like I like to mess around. I've studied electronics before, and so I've looked into, inductance and for making switch mode power supplies. I made a little switch, you know, just using a chip and a thing. I've looked at the papers, I suppose, but not really. I don't understand all the maths. But yeah, I can see myself messing with that stuff again in the future.
I'm again the other way around. So what piques my interest in this is something that I'm probably going to do this year. So I want to build my own DC arc welder. So basically take a couple of microwave transformers, remove the secondary coils, and then replace that with like 8-gauge wire just to build like a 30, maybe a 40 volt power supply, but running like 100 or more amps. But yeah, I need to think about that one because that sounds a little bit scary.
Yeah, again, batteries, when you know what you're doing. Enough, you know enough. I made a couple of axial flux generators, you know, for a wind turbine, magnets and coils and three phase, that kind of stuff. And I actually didn't think at all at any point during that I could shock myself. But of course,
I think for me at this stage, I think the easiest for that project of mine is I've got a AC arc welder, and it will probably be best just to take that and modify it and put in some very, very large duty diodes to build a rectifier and a massive cap to try and flatten it out.
You know, you watch out for the aluminium coils in those microwave ovens.
I didn't realize those were aluminium.
Some, not all, but some is cheaper than using copper. So yeah, there are some aluminium coils out there which would melt more easily.
Yeah, most certainly doesn't want that to. Yeah, you don't want that to vaporize and breathe that.
I've pulled a few of those apart. And, you know, when I was looking to build those flux generators, I think I ended up buying a proper magnet wire, you know, thicker, because I needed the current for that. I did consider going higher voltage, but I thought about using it for attaching it to some other thing at a later date, because its application was at a protest site, actually, for an open cast coal mine. And if the wind wasn't blowing, we could bring it down and pedal it instead. So I went for thicker wire. But yeah, I found some aluminium, and that's what I was a bit disappointed.
So with playing on the inside of microwaves, have you ever had the thought of playing with a magnetron?
No, I know that little beryllium, that pink beryllium, you don't want to be inhaling that dust. And yeah, of course, but my brother's told me, I told him, I went up the top of a hill next to the big antennae pole, you know, with the big wires coming down the side that are, you think are holding it up, but are actually the antenna. And they're saying, Dan, just don't stand there. And whatever you do, if you see a square tube, don't look down it because you will go blind. So mind out for the waveguides. I don't know what you meant about magnetrons.
Yeah, it's that magnetron basically that creates that whole thing. So I've had this idea, but I don't think there's much use for the information of experimenting with this. But using that with a custom guide to interfere with what's this near field things and RFC and things like that, and just see how that works.
I think
basically destructive.
Research it, and because it's good to know you might be protecting yourself from some environmental danger that you were already exposed to. You know, it's worth looking it up.
Yeah, most certainly. But for me, it was more about using that particular technology to remotely disable NFC and RFC and things like that.
I'm not going to ask why. I mean, like, it's physics, isn't it? You find an application for the knowledge you have. You get curious, I get curious.
Yeah, we're all curious. This is what drives us into this hobby. But for me, I will go and spend money if there's a client willing to, you know, to pay for it. If you want to find vulnerabilities, physical or online or network or whatever, that's fine. But, you know, this is something that I've been wondering about and how that can be exploited in different ways. But yeah, again, if nobody's going to pay for that, then it's sort of pointless to go down that route, except curiosity.
There's payment and there's value, isn't there? But it's a similar kind of thing. You if you need a thing, then you find ways.
I think it might make an interesting talk. In communities like this or TEDx or whatever, using completely unrelated technologies to be malicious, basically.
If it's straightforward enough for someone to do in a short period of time, like a week of playing, there are people who probably have done it in environments where they had nothing else to do because they were just in a very deprived environment and there's all this junk lying around.
Yeah, I know, most certainly. I mean, there's a lot of curious people out there and I've done some really crazy experiments in the past.
Okay, so curiosity, just out of, by coincidence, in the last week I've run into twice, I think they were separate sources, RFC testing, not RFC, what is it when you're compliance testing, when you make a product and you need to get it tested to see that it's not interfering with other, like with aeroplanes or with medical equipment, and they have this test suite in a special place and you pay to have your kit tested. You could, you might learn something from, if you didn't know already, you might see some tutorial about that, which might relate to waveguides.
Yeah, I think that's actually quite interesting. I'm pretty sure there must be some papers published on that. I've briefly looked to find some, which I haven't been successful, but I think, yeah, if I just go and apply my mind properly, then one should be able to find some white papers.
And then that knowledge. So I might not have noticed half of that, or rather, I can listen, say, to electronic engineering podcast, and I can understand what they're talking about. And it's odd. Occasionally, I recognize where I wouldn't know what they were talking about if I hadn't read that thing, if I hadn't spent half an hour going down that rabbit hole. And then you pick up that extra knowledge because you had something to attach it to.
Yeah, no, that is indeed. It's always, once you get the context, then everything else falls in place.
Right, and I don't feel so bad if I'm reading. Occasionally, my ego has tempted me to read about particle physics, you know, and whenever I've had a quick try at that, it just, there's nothing in my mind or my day to attach that stuff to, generally speaking. So it means nothing to me. I don't retain it. It was useless. But if I'm building around, you know, I have enough trouble when I come back to supply my laptop with 20 volts at 4.5 amps, you know, starting from nothing, in the back of a van. Like, I think it shouldn't be this difficult, but the fact is, things aren't straightforward, and a little bit of knowledge does go a long way.
Yeah, I was lucky to have studied in a technical school. So I had electrical engineering from age 13. I actually wanted to do electronic engineering, but if you want to do that, you have to have 80% for maths at higher grade, which I was just not able to do. So they said, well, electronics is not for you, but you can go electrical engineering.
Right. I got, I was qualified as a sysadmin for Solaris before Oracle bought Solaris, what did they call it, Sun Microsystems. But I've never earned a penny doing that. What's my point? Electrical engineering. Oh, I did hear another podcast. They were talking, interestingly, about swapping out transformers, you know, on the village level, on the industrial estate level, with is it gallium nitride switching to make it more efficient and smaller, to make a power go further while we reduce oil consumption, that kind of a thing. So there's a heck of a lot of money to be made there, and I did consider for a minute, I'm capable of that. I know there's a risk of death, but there is work there.
Yeah, definitely. But it's now quite interesting how you mentioned you were involved with Solaris. I was really disappointed when Oracle stopped making the free version of Solaris, which was basically a Linux alternative. Because I think that would, that was just simply the best Java development environment that you could ask for.
Yeah, I was just qualifying. I passed my certificate for sysadmin. There's some initials for it. I forget. They were going to give me, you know, you get to use their logo on your website and stuff. And pretty much as that happened, Oracle bought Sun Micros, and I was into Open Solaris at the time. Like, I just got my head around all that, the fact that I could package my own CDs at the time, DVDs, with all the, and make it bootable, you know. I was stoked. And then I thought, oh, like, there's no way that Oracle, you know, they're just, I'm not working for a bank, don't want to do it. And now the universities are going to switch over away from Solaris to Linux. And yeah, Open Solaris, I was thinking I'm going to develop this, and then it just kind of fell to bits, except for a Lumos project. So Smartos is still cool. Or it was when they were spinning disks.
Oracle now has what they call Oracle Linux. I haven't tried it out yet, but I think that maybe an alternative development platform. But yeah, I just need to take some time and test it out and see how it goes.
The way my head works, like I said, I've never earned money with the sysadmin, is now it's just, what do you need to do in your day? And what's the difference between like a microcontroller, when you're feeding a microcontroller or programming that, or whether you're using, you know, what level of, who was it that you needed to talk to when you just tried to send this message in this weird code that you, somebody else developed, you know? Have you got enough food for most people in the world? Quite
the other funny thing is how basically since the beginning of Java, it's always been sitting on 3 billion users, and it's never moved for the last decade at least, that on that little screen when you install it.
Yeah, it's surprising how long that code sits there, isn't it? If it works.
Yeah, no, definitely. But anyways, I need to drop off for a bit. I need to take my daughter to the shops. So I'll be back probably about in an hour, maybe two.
Enjoy.
Is this still going to be running in 2 hours?
I don't know. I need to.
Nobody talks.
I need to fix the door.
Kind of surprised it's still going now.
Well, good day, and I'll maybe hear some of you on HPR.
Good day.
Happy New Year, and have a good. I think 50 and I talked 1 year for 2 or 3 days on this.
Really? I know he was having issues logging in, so gave up. So I guess he's not going to be on this year's, or not 50 Netminer. 50's not with us anymore. Heard stories about Lord D, but I never talked to him.
He's the one that got me into all this in the first place. I met him face-to-face at Ohio Linux Fest in 2008 or 9.
Mm. I got to meet 50 at Texas Linux Fest.
And we met Danny Meeks.
Yeah. Danny still comes by my house, so. Is that Mordency I heard?
It is. I got Plumble working early.
Awesome. How you been, man?
I was listening on the live stream for most of the last day.
I had family things to do, or I would have been on more. When are you going to start jumping on tilts more? I'll take that as a probably never.
Oh, I didn't hear a question.
Oh, no, I asked Mordency when he was going to start jumping on tilts more.
I have been working nonstop for the last 2 years in my job. It's really difficult to hop on the stream, let alone be awake while it's running.
Right, okay.
But I try to at least listen.
Yeah. I see you quite often in the listening booth. Like, I used to do the show from the office.
What was that?
I used to do the show from the office or on the drive home.
I am so far behind on the Linux Lugcast. I'm sorry, the Mintcast.
Yeah. We've had some decent shows recently. I was getting bored there for a little while. This last show was the prediction show, but the one before that was we were going over Kevin Mitnick's Art of Invisibility. And then I think the episode before that, I went through and explained how to set up a secure VM.
I apologize for not being more of a talker, but my whole family's around here, and they're loud.
Yeah, that happens.
It was funny hearing your daughter rant to Joe about the...
I'm not sure.
The streamers that animated the other people's Twitch stream.
Oh, not Kai. It was Tala talking about that one. I'll have to get the Raws again from Honky and see if I can cut that out. I tried to convince him. Yeah, I tried to convince them both to join for a little while. But I'm the only person in the house interested in Linux technology in general, except for my son, but he's 10, so give him a little bit more time.
My wife's not really interested in the Linux at all, but she'll miss it when it's gone.
Yeah.
Everyone will miss it if it goes.
It won't. It really can't.
Oh, it could from this house. All I have to do.
Oh, well, from the house, yeah. The only thing my wife would be annoyed about is that we wouldn't have the Plex anymore.
That would be... Have you run the Jellyfin yet?
I have not. I've been using Plex for a long time. Finally,
a long time ago, they've rolled to now have it.
No, you can get the lifetime, and like once a year they'll do their sale where they offer their the price that they first posted for Plex to get the lifetime subscription for it, which is like $70-something. So I got that, and it's not necessarily because I use any of the. Premium features for it. It's because, you know, I like to support the things that I use.
I would run Jellyfin, but it has troubles with FreeBSD, which is what I run Plex on.
I don't know. When I completely upgraded my server, I started having issues playing MKVs, and I'm still trying to figure out why. And I'm getting occasional skipping.
MKVs are the only thing that work on my server.
Yeah.
AVIs seem laggy.
Yeah, I think it's the AVIs that are skipping a little bit, and then the MKVs didn't want to load at all for a while. But I'll have to go back and double check and see if that's still the case. It does have an older graphics card in it, and I do want to upgrade that eventually, so see if that helps.
I've had issues with files that are H.265.
Yeah, I'll have to check that.
I actively look for that now, and that's usually what the issue is that can't be played back on my from my NAS. I'm switching to a little mini AMD box to run Plex and just using the NAS storage.
Okay. Well, no, I've got a Ryzen 5 3600 and 8 terabyte drive, a 4 terabyte drive, and a 2 terabyte drive of varying ages. And I'm going to have to do some more testing to see if it's like read speeds on one of the drives or if it's just the file types or if it's H.265 at this point.
What's your problem there, bud?
MKVs don't want to play from Plex, and with some AVI files, I get skipping.
How large are the AVI files?
Generally TV show size, so... probably 720p, 30-minute videos, although we did see some skipping with White Christmas as well. I'll just mount the stuff.
Does it skip on other things or just on Plex?
Just on Plex, because when we started having the problem with White Christmas, I did a fuse mount to my laptop and just used VLC to play it, and it worked fine.
Because I always have Kodi set up to play NFS and have NFS. That's my backup to Plex.
You said you were using NFS?
Yes. NFS to Kodi, version 3.
I'm not a big fan of NFS, but SSHFS works really well.
Well, the NAS that I have, the thing that it runs, it's an NFS server.
That's what
serves everything, and then Kodi is on a separate machine and mounts everything via NFS. So all of my network is saturated. It works really well. Us.
Hmm.
I'm using the NFS share off my NAS also, and I did the same troubleshooting as you did, Joe. And if I mount it from my laptop and run it in VLC, it's seamless.
Right. No, I just I don't use NFS. Because I don't have a NAS. I use SSHFS for basically everything.
But with my troubleshooting, that's what I identified, was that it was H.265 files that weren't playing off the NAS.
It's probably the same thing then. Matter of fact, let me mount everything and see what White Christmas is.
If you go to it in Plex, I think you can go to more info on the movie or TV show, and it'll give you that information.
That might, I do manage.
White Christmas. It's listed as 720p. I'm not seeing H.264. I do have it in two places, though. Maybe I played the other one. Yeah, okay. The 1080p version that I have is H.264. And you said that was what was giving you problems?
No, ones that are H.265.
265, okay.
Do you have hardware decoding for H.265?
I should have hardware decoding for everything. Go into my settings, general, nope, transcoder. It's transcoder is set to automatic. Background transcoding.
I only transcode remote streams.
What's that?
I only direct.
I don't see. Disable video stream transcoding. Disable transcoding of the video stream in transcoder operations. With this set, the transcoder may still transcode audio as well as remux video. I do have use hardware acceleration when available and use hardware accelerated video encoding.
Does anyone want a screaming baby? I'll give them one.
I've already had three of those. I'm good.
No, thank you. Well, I'm vegetarian.
I'm too old for that crap. Yeah, but with MKVs, I had to start setting up optimized versions.
Why is that?
Because they wouldn't play.
On devices or all
devices? All devices. So has anybody watched anything good lately? Mandalorian? Wonder Woman 1984?
Both.
What'd you think?
Wonder Woman was, okay. Mandalorian I love.
Yeah, Mandalorian was great. What was that?
I said Wonder Woman had too many special effects.
Yeah, I think they were trying to chase too many storylines with it. The special effects I didn't think were bad. Except for the special effects for the sake of special effects. Let's bring in the invisible plane and fly it through with fireworks.
Oh, I just mean the opening scene.
Read any good books? Anybody read Ready Player 2 yet?
I can't read physical books anymore.
That's what audiobooks are for.
Lately.
That's what vacation is for.
Lots of good fiction podcasts I listen to. Scary Tales Told in the Dark and SCP Archive, things like that.
Picked one up. Both seasons in. Let me see if I can find what it's called. Tincture. But I haven't started it yet. Like three books to it so far. Tincture, A Weird West Trilogy. So I guess I got all three books.
I'm curious, why are you using Plex if you're not running a NAS for your storage?
So that everybody else can enjoy my movie collection too. Because I have a server with massive amounts of storage in it.
Oh, your Plex is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I call it my server, but it's also my garage computer, so it is hooked up to two giant monitors.
I acquired an...
It had to be fun.
Dell.
Oh, my server is the Ryzen 5 3600 with the B450M motherboard. Got a... Inside it, there is the 8, the 4, and the 2, and then I have an external enclosure that has a 4 and a 2, but I think both of those need replaced.
Are you running ZFS?
No.
Oh, that's where it's at, man. Certainly it's backups. You can send the internet somewhere or a snapshot of what's changed.
Yeah. The only things that are backed up that are on the server is paperwork and pictures.
Yeah, that's important. That was...
Yeah.
You can do a really fun thing with ZFS. The entire ZFS snapshot to like online backups.
How long does it take?
I have really fast internet, so...
Okay. Well, usually with the really cheap backup systems, it's throttled at their end. I don't know about S3 specifically. How much is S3 costing for backup?
That's
It's $5 a terabyte at Wasabi, and it's cost me $5.
But since it's not something that I trust, I don't trust it.
Right. Offsite backup. I've got some friends that live across the state, so 1,100 miles away, 1,200 miles away. And
let's put it this way, it's faster for me to upload data to Wasabi than it is for me to copy my data set over to
US. Oh, I was planning on, I was thinking about sending said friend a Raspberry Pi and a couple of external drives and using that as a backup. Either that or sending them to my dad in Florida.
What's priority shipping stateside these days?
Say again?
How much does priority shipping
cost? Here to Florida, it would probably, depending on the size of the package, $15 to $17.
They usually
not bad.
A box and a weight limit for the box and a flat price.
I don't know. I could also order some of it through Amazon and have it sent straight to his house. No, I wouldn't do that. Because then he'd have to hook something into something else, and that just wouldn't work. I do still have his Wi-Fi password, though, so I could set it all up and say, hey, Dad, just plug this into the wall.
You don't even need that. You just, I guess you'd need the Wi-Fi, but you can set up auto SSHFS backwards and set up a reverse tunnel.
Yeah, but it would need power, so that's it. And, for something that remote, I don't know if I would do SSHFS. Not for a long-term backup. I'd rather do something like BT-Sync and then just have it read-only on his side. So any changes that I make to the things that I want backed up automatically get changed.
You could just do it old school before beating around and just run rTorrent and pass rTorrent a torrent file.
Technically, I could just, code it all with rsync too.
R clone would.
So would btsync. Or what I guess it's called.
The same config as rclone?
As what?
As rclone style config?
I'm not sure. Btsync, basically, I have it point to two folders, one local, one remote, and then it uses torrenting to keep them in sync. And it's called Resilio Sync now. And then it's just a admin web page to set up new syncs. And I can't remember. I know I've used rclone in the past, but I can't remember the setup for it.
I swear by rclone. Very easy. And it runs many protocols.
Okay, I remember. I just looked it up. I vaguely remember setting that up when I was trying to set up Google Drive as a local mount.
I started using rclone because it was...
I got annoyed a couple of years back because every time I found a different way to locally mount things like Google Drive and Amazon Storage, Amazon Cloud, Amazon Drive. Every time I'd figure out a way to set it up, they'd make a change. And yeah, you can't do that anymore because you used to be able to do Amazon with a fuse mount.
That's just to help to facilitate their vendor lock-in policies.
Yeah, I think I actually did an episode of Midcast on it.
So if you were setting up G Drive, were you trying to use G Drive and a massive amounts of storage?
My Google Drive at the time, I think I had 100 gig. But I was also at the time big into using Windows tablets as Linux tablets. And most of those, it was the Asus Transformer, the T100s, and they just plain didn't have a lot of storage in them. So I wanted to set up cloud storage as local storage and use it that way. Cat, cut that out. Sharpening your claws on my chair. Then at the same time, I also had a terabyte on Amazon when they still had those plans. And I think I had cloud storage with Asus as well. And I know for a while, because of getting the different transformer devices, if I did the initial setup with Windows, they would give me, I think it was 100 gig of Dropbox space for a year as well. So I had a bunch of them. Is it 100 gig or 50 gig? Eh, it's been a while, and I haven't slept.
Yeah, I run.
What storage?
I run my own.
Oh, yeah. Well, now, you know, hard drive space is also a whole lot cheaper. So, yeah, I have an 8-terabyte hard drive. So, yeah, I set up SSHFS on all my devices, including my, what is it, the tablet that I'm using, the Dell Venue.
I'm targeting enterprise SSD.
Ah.
It's not what I have, but that's what I'm looking for now.
Yeah, that would be cool. High-speed storage that way. No, but I got SSH set up with using if up and if down. So whenever I connect to the internet using my tablet, it will automatically connect to all the storage on my server. And then whenever my internet connection drops, it will cleanly close that all out so that it can reopen it when it comes back up. Dell Venue 11 Pro 7130, running Linux Mint.
I do like the FreeBSD and the ZFS integration.
Yeah, I've heard good things, and I've heard BSD is set up to be able to run most things that run on Linux.
Yeah, most. It doesn't run the mono very well, which is why I'm still running Plex and not Jellyfin or MB.
I should try Jellyfin and see what happens.
Right now I got 48 terabytes of raw storage, 24 use, and
most a lot more than I have
external enclosures.
Oh, most of that's in external enclosures.
Yeah, five bay external enclosures with external power over USB 0.0, and okay. One of them's 0.1.
That is cool. Now I'm thinking about getting one or two more 8-terabyte drives, and if I get two more, then I will pull the 4-terabyte and the 2-terabyte that are currently in my server and put those into the external and transfer all the data over to the 8-terabytes and get rid of the other 4 and 2 that are going bad.
Pat? I bought 90 used 2-terabyte hard drives, or I got a pallet deal, 400 for all of them.
Really good, especially if all of them, you know, worked.
4 were bad right off the get-go. Well, I should rephrase. 4 failed bad blocks.
They still mounted, they were still accessible, but they weren't going to last very long.
All reusable, and 10 died within.
Still, the external enclosures aren't cheap either, any of the 5 bays.
I have 4 of the Oracle and Amazon.
Did you try running SpinWrite on your failed disk?
No, I took them apart and put the magnets.
Yeah, the SpinWrite is good for, you know, recovering data that one last time, but then I don't know if I would trust a drive that needed SpinWrite run on it for anything long term.
My brother swears by it. He has repaired several drives for people, and they have run flawlessly for years afterwards.
Cool.
Well, running all my data in a Z pool, even though I lost drives, I never had any downtime at all, other than turning the.
My kitty is calmed down finally. Now I have a cuddle buddy.
I'm routing cabinet.
I'm expecting my son to be up any minute. Hey, Mordency, are you on the Mintcast Discord or the Telegram group?
No, I don't know how to use Telegram or Discord.
Oh.
Only because I haven't tried.
Yeah.
I assume that's why.
No, I was going to post a picture of my cat deciding where to post it. Telegram it is.
Imager.
Anybody worked on any interesting electronics lately?
I recently got my Helios NAS. I'm going to be building that.
Cool. Lately, it's been PSPs for me.
It's been what?
PSPs, PlayStation Portables. Buying them in bulk, broken, fixing them, and selling them. Well, fixing them, putting custom firmware on them, and then selling them.
Custom firmware, a must for.
No. No, the custom firmware is to make it so that you don't need the physical games in order to play. And it allows you to play a lot more retro games, as long as you have the game files. So I toss about 5,000 games on to a 64-gigabyte microSD card, and then use a M2 adapter, and basically, what, Neo Geo, N64, Genesis, Master System, PS1, Atari, quite a few Atari games on there. Game Boy, Game Boy Advance. Yeah.
I have and playing regularly.
Yeah. PlayStation emulation has actually gotten a whole lot better in the last couple of years. There used to be, well, at least with, you know, handheld devices, there used to be a lot of issues with any game that required more than one CD. N64 emulation still sucks.
It's not that bad. Not on the Shield. It's pretty responsive and very performant. The controllers, though, mapping the controller to have all the functionality of the N64 controller is quite difficult.
How well does it emulate 007?
I don't know. I don't really play any first-person.
Okay. No, just 007 is one of those ones that I've never really found a system that emulates it well.
I still have my original N64. And do you want me to try 007 or Perfect Dark?
Oh, I love Perfect Dark, too. But only the one with the expansion pack for the N64?
Yeah, I've got the expansion pack, too.
Okay. Are you going to try and run it on your Shield?
That's what I'm asking. Like, do you
Give it a shot.
Run just 007 or try and run Perfect Dark?
Oh, just try 007.
It won't be today.
Okay.
How do I get in touch with
you? JB@mintcast.org.
All right, I have to drop you.
Put that here.
I use RetroArch for my
setup. Yeah. I have one really old ThinkPad set up with Batacera, and that works really well.
How old is your?
What is it? X120E? I think that's right. Yeah.
I have an H.
The X120E is from 2011.
A Pentium copper mine.
Cool. When I got mine, it didn't have a hard drive in it, so it has an SSD now.
Mine still has any rust.
Yeah, mine's definitely not original. I kind of like buying broken things and making them work. Oh, I haven't bought headphones in bulk in a little while. The last set worked out pretty good. I got 10 Skullcandy Crusher. It was one of the earlier models of the Crusher. I got 8 of them working. I think I sold or gave away 5 of them. And I guess I still have a few Hesh 3s left that I haven't finished fixing yet, but they're boring to fix because they always break in the same way. The hinge breaks. Woo! 3D print a new hinge. A little bit of cutting. Fits right in. And I'm waiting for a new motherboard for Samsung Gear S3. But because of the holidays, it's taking forever to get here.
Is it the holidays or just the COVID?
No, but I'm pretty sure that it's a mixture of not COVID, but something a certain person did to the Postal Service along with it being the holidays. But it's just a test motherboard for me, since the pedometer and the heart rate monitor are not working on that motherboard, and it only costs like $15 instead of the $60 that a working motherboard would cost me. And that'll also mean that I'll have a test motherboard for the next time I get one of the Gear S3 watches and need to figure out what's wrong with it. Or what's still working with it.
So you pick a lot of finished hardware?
Yeah. It's just a hobby. I work in financial technology. For the longest time, I would pick up a couple of different lots of the HBS or the LG HBS 770s or the 810s or, well, basically anything in the line. I think I even have some 910s and a couple of 550s and just fix them. I mean, with those, it's almost always the same issue where the cord for the headphone gets crimped right where it comes out of the side of the device, and all you have to do is shorten it up an inch. And then so you buy 10 of them, you get them for $5 each, and then you can turn around and sell the working ones as refurbished for $20 each. Or you end up giving them away as Christmas presents. As long as my hobby pays for itself, I'm good with it.
Yeah, my hobby is...
Well, eating food kind of pays for itself.
I also...
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I do. So, having smoked jerky and what was kind of...
Up where?
Kind of, well, I'm in...
Ah.
It's...
We've gotten a bunch of rain this last week.
Yeah, that's where it's coming from. Thanks.
You know what? You can have it. It's all yours. Take it.
I'd rather have the...
Like I said, you can have it. It makes it difficult to ride your bike when it's 38 degrees and, you know, pouring rain.
But at least, you know, not frozen.
That's true. Just nearly frozen. I guess within, less than 100 miles of me, there's some snow cover. I mean, it's not Canada snow cover, but...
I live right on the cover here, actually.
Well, I used to live in northern Iowa, so we used to get quite a bit of snow there, but I was a lot younger and sturdier and acclimatized. Having been in Texas for the last 20 years, I have to say I greatly prefer not snow.
I'm Georgia. I greatly prefer.
Where at in Georgia?
Athens.
I lived in, Hinesville for a little while.
It's familiar. What cities are close to
them? When I say I lived there for a little while, I lived there for a little while when I was in second grade, third grade.
Fair enough.
Yeah. We lived there when we got back from Germany.
Is it an airport?
No. Hinesville, Georgia. My dad was Army Fort Stewart.
Ah, yeah.
Granted, I spent most of my time in Texas in El Paso, which is warmer than North Dallas. So, yeah, the weather here kind of sucks too. But what?
Drier.
Yeah. One's the desert.
Dallas.
Yeah, the humidity will kill you.
I know. We get this exact same humidity up here because we're right on the... We get it with the cold too, and it's just as bad.
Ugh, that does sound like it would suck. Tell me, the humidity when it's cold, does it still make you sweat?
No, it just makes you...
Because the water still clings to you and, yeah, acts like sweat.
Right, it has no operation. It condenses difference.
Ugh. No, I'm good.
You usually notice it first. It's not your feet sweating sensation.
I did spend some time in a little, not so little place called Doha. And basically, I lived in a tent. And we were right next to the ocean. And we're like... I literally
could have
thrown a rock. Is that Mortensen? Something happened to your audio?
Something happened to your audio.
Okay. Well, I could have thrown a rock into the sea. And 140 degrees and that close to the ocean, it's not really a good mixture.
The ocean here is a tide huge. The water's slack tide on either side of the high and the low tide. When it's more like an hour, but slack tide, the water doesn't really move, and all the rest of the... And I'm talking like 30.
Yeah, that I think that would suck.
It's highest.
It might make fishing easier.
Not really.
Bottom. It's
like lobster.
Does it make lobstering easier?
Does it make what easier?
Does it make catching lobster easier?
I don't know any other way, so...
Are you talking like industrial lobster fishing or individual lobster fishing? Okay. I did not know that. So you can't go out and catch your dinner?
That is highly illegal.
Okay, so you can go out and catch your dinner, you just prefer not to get caught doing it.
Yeah, something like that.
Is there a particular reason it's illegal?
Like the out of tax.
Okay.
Canada likes to tax everything.
Well, it's not illegal to smoke a deer out of season. It's just illegal to, you know, get caught hunting one.
License that had a valid and...
Well, what if a deer steps in front of your car?
It's not your deer.
And it's just supposed to rot on the side of the road?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just checking. What if a deer fell into my smoker?
That means be very...
What if a deer jumped out of its skin and jumped into my smoker?
That'd be a neat trick, and I'd want to see it.
I've switched over to Moomla.
Moomla? I like Moomla. It's now my go-to on Android devices.
It is or is not?
It is my go-to. I do still have Plumble installed, but when I'm on Android anymore, I'm using Moomla.
That's when my push-to-talk switched over to I needed to set it back up again.
No, I understand, you know, poaching, hunting out of season. It's illegal for a reason, but there was a time when I was a kid when, you know, my family didn't have any money, and sometimes it was the only way to eat.
Problem's the trophy.
Hmm?
The problem is the trophy.
And
the
hunt
and don't eat.
Ugh, You mean those, I can't say the word on here, people that bag a deer and all they take is the head and leave the rest there?
That's a poacher.
That's trophy hunting. Now, that far north, do you guys, do you get pheasant and quail?
There's a lot of pheasant. I haven't seen any quail.
Okay. Pheasant's good eating anyway.
We get partridge.
Partridge? I don't think I've done partridge.
It's like a big pheasant.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.